God bless you this evening. Real honor and privilege to be here with you one more time. I just was singing a song as I come in there. We are nearer home than we were yesterday. And you know, I was just thinking tomorrow we're going to be leaving to go back home. And I said, yes, we are nearer home, but we are looking forward of going to our heavenly home. It's bright and fair, and we know there'll be peace awaiting us. And really appreciate that song, my brother. One of my favorite, and said, you know, I'm looking forward for that day when we won't have to part anymore. Just be together with the saints. What a day that will be. No wonder we're going to have a body change. This body can only take so much. But when we get on that other side, my, what a day that will be. Looking forward to it. I want to say it's a real honor and a real privilege to be with you, brethren, for the past few days. And really enjoy the teaching ministry and words that have been spoken, the inspiration under which it was spoken, and how that God has used our brother to just, you know, update us on some of the things that are being said. And I want to say this in a way of a little testimony. You know, really, I've been edified, I've been uplifted, I've been enriched, I've been inspired by the words. And, you know, it's beautiful words, it's wonderful words of life. And to just think that the messenger that God sent to us, what a privilege it is to be able to identify with Him, to know Him, and to recognize who He was and what He did and how God used Him. And I was just thinking, He was talking on a book called Look Away to Jesus, and He made a statement there concerning a preacher from Chicago by the name of Brother Bose, I believe. And he said, you know, he talked with him about the baptism, and he said they were having a real hard time. He was a hard nut to crack, and said that, you know, they were talking, and he asked, you know, the brother, you know, said, now, do you think it'd be right to be baptized in the name of the Rose of Sharon? He said, no. You know, the Lily of the Valley, no. He said, how would you baptize them? He said, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Brother Bram said, that's correct. That's the way I baptize. Because you know what the name of the Father is, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. And he said, finally, this gentleman saw it. And he said, now I have a lot of baptism to do in Africa. And you know, I believe that has been the theme of what our brother been preaching and shared with the church this morning in Tongat and some of the places that we've been able to minister, of how, you know, for 40 years here, I believe that I was walking in the fullness of the word and quoting what the prophet said and not knowing that I was misplacing, dislocating, misinterpreting the message of the hour, the word of God. And God opened my understanding. And, you know, it was about the year 1970 when I was in Tucson, Arizona. And I went there and I was privileged to go to the different places where many of the mighty things that God did in our generation through His prophet messenger, go to the place where the sword appeared in the prophet's hand, where the dove appeared, the seven dove, where that creature that he saw in a vision, his enemy, that was about 6 inches long, and we found it died there, and the place where the sword was written, the word eagle was written in quartz, stood there right above it, saw that eagle, that formation on the rock, where the angels came down. And I feel very, very honored and privileged to have this opportunity, which many would like to go. Now we can see it, but way back in the 70s, it was just, you know, such a privilege coming from a small island and be able to go and see some of these things. What an inspiration, what a blessing it was to be able to see some of these things. And one of the highlights in 1970, in the month of February, I was looking forward to the next month, which I'd be married in, but while I was here, I was privileged to sit on the bed where they told me the prophet sat, and I said, as I sat there, I opened my Bible, and it came to St. Luke chapter 10, verse 21, caught my attention, and 22 and 23, where Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit, and He said, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven, you know, that You have hidden these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent. You know, just looking here, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, He was glorifying God. He was giving the Father honor. He was giving them glory. He said, you know, when you pray, pray our Father. You know, He did not say He was the Father. He said, you know, I thank You, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that You have hidden these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent and has revealed them unto babes such as would learn. And said, no man knows the Father but the Son, and to whom He would reveal Him, and no one knows the Son but the Father, and to whom he would reveal him. That remained a mystery for over 40 years in my life. I would always consider that. I felt like the Lord was speaking directly to me as I opened the Bible. And, you know, I just looked down there and saw the other verse, verse 23, where Jesus Christ turned privately to the disciples and said, "Blessed are your eyes that see the things that you see. For I say unto many wise men and have desired to see these things, and they have not seen them." And I felt in my heart, you know, that is exactly God speaking to me. And I remember the incident that the prophet had, that he would be, after preaching, he had such a burden for a long time. He felt like, you know, he had done something wrong. And he tried to search his life to find out what it was, and that burden will be there. And finally he went to prayer and said, "Lord, give me a character in the Bible that I can see that will help me." And he turned his Bible and it came to the book of, I believe, Genesis chapter 24. And there was Eliezer being told by Abraham to go and find a bride for his son Isaac. And the prophet recognized that was his mission on earth. Amen. To go and find a bride, bring a message to the bride of Jesus Christ. And he found from that moment on that burden lifted from him. And not only that, that was one incident. And then Sister Medum, you know, was about 12 years old when Brother Bram was baptizing those believers on the Ohio River, when the angel of the Lord came down and spoke audibly and said, "As John the Baptist was sent to foreign my first coming, you are sent with a message to foreign my second coming." And she heard that voice. And later on, as she grew up to be a young woman, you know, she was babysitting for the prophet, and many people begin to make all kind of accusation of this young preacher visiting this young lady and so forth. And Brother Bram was trying to get away. And it just so happened that the Lord spoke to him and, you know, told him to go and get her and marry her. And on the 23rd of October, and then here, she went to pray and she opened her Bible and turned to the scripture in Malachi 4:5, "Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet." Amen. Amen. God spoke directly to her. You know, God never changes his way. We see that, and it was a confirmation to her. And to me, it was the same thing when I read that scripture. But we were talking, and on. But Tony and myself, we have had our disagreements. I thought he was pretty wrong on many things, you know, when we talk. And, you know, I don't want to be a yes man to no one. I want to find the word of God. I want to see it myself. Because, you know, I have to answer for myself. You know, you don't have to answer for me. And it just so happened that as we were talking, he asked me a question that was so, you know, I thought it was very strange. He asked me, he said, "Did I have the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost Martin Luther had?" And I thought, I was with a famous preacher from, you know, up in Cape Town and some in South Carolina. And I said, "Is there two Holy Ghosts?" And when he left, we all looked at each other and said, "That guy is, you know, crazy. And he's out on left field." But then later on, I began to search the word, and I found out the prophet of God said the Holy Ghost was bound by the doors of creeds and dogmas for 2,000 years. And this message has released that Holy Ghost. And I began to look closely at what he said, and then we find out there were ministering spirit that was sent from the throne of God to minister to those seven messengers that brought the message that represented Christ. And then the scriptural law and principle begin to click into my mind, where Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever receiveth whom I send, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me." And then I begin to realize that Martin Luther, he was Christ for that hour. He was a Jesus. He was the one with the message. Those that received Luther's message were sealed as the bride in that day. And then I begin to look on a little more, and I said, "Hey, what this man is saying is truth." And then he began to ask the question, "Well, how did you receive life? Who is it that introduced you to the Word of God?" And I began to find out, you know, no one had ever pointed this out to me. Said, life comes through the body. And this is what the prophet said in the spoken word, is the original seed. And then he showed how, you know, life came to Paul, to Ananias, and here Peter. He went and spoke the word to those in the house of Cornelius. And then Philip went out to the Ethiopian eunuch and so forth. And said, if they receive life, you can take the fullness of the word and show it to them. And if they receive it, they got life. But if they don't receive that, then there's a big question there. And I begin to look at what was being said. And then And when he began to introduce the apostolic order, he pointed out what the prophet said. And I said, my, I've never heard these things before. And as I begin to look closer into the word of God, then the scripture just began to come to my understanding. He said, now watch the scripture there in that, in Luke 10 and 22. He said, you know, that same law applies like John 20 and 13 and 20. He that receiveth whom I send receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. But this one here that is speaking, this servant, this son, in this hour, was not talking about that unique son that was born 2,000 years ago. Because he's not here to reveal the Father to you and I. Because he said, you know, I can't do nothing except the Father shows me first. So there was a son in our day, a clean man in the evening time. According to, you know, Matthew 12, here was a servant that would come, that would bring judgment to the Gentiles. And then I begin to realize it is the ministry of the prophet William Branham that God sent in our day and time. And these things begin to unfold to me. And as I look at them, he said, remember now, it is the word that was brought forth, the truth that was lost during the church ages. But God came, sent his word to us. He sent a prophet messenger to restore that word to you and I. And find out here that Malachi 4 was to restore us back to the apostolic faith. And said, you know, it was so good to be able to go back to the apostolic faith and see what was being done in that hour. And then he said, now here, he began after the opening of the seal, began to unveil the secret of, you know, the mighty God unveiled. We didn't know who we were worshiping. We were worshiping, you know, a Trinitarian God or a oneness God, as the prophet told us very clearly. You know, in they said here in the church age, said, look, there were two truths, there were two doctrines that came out at the Nicaea Council. And he said one of them was Trinitarianism and believing in a three God, and the other one was Unitarian. And this man said that, you know, both went in different direction. And the prophet even tells us, he said, now, I got to make some statement after preaching to the world, the church world and everything. He said, now I can't hold my peace any longer. He said, Trinitarianism is of the devil. And here when the prophet began to come boldly and declare his word after the opening of the seal here, we find out he said, now, I don't believe, he said, I'm not a oneness. I don't believe God is one like your finger. And brother and sister, that's what I believed for over 40 years and I was propagating. But when I found out that God is not one like your finger, Jesus could not be his own father. These are scriptures that Brother Tony pointed out to me. And you know, I respected him for what he knew. And you know, I would not challenge him on a debate because, you know, I knew fully well that what he was saying was the truth. He was backing up everything, not Tony's message, but William Branham's message. And it wasn't William Branham's message. It was Almighty God's message that God used a prophet to bring it to us in this hour. And since when my understanding began to be open like this, and I saw that, you know, the Father and the Son shared the same name, who came down in 63, and my one after the, it was like a Roman candle. The scripture began to open up to me, and I find out that I was worshiping on a Baal worship. You know, and my Trinitarian, a oneness doctrine, and then God began to open my understanding. I've been around the world ministering, establishing churches in many, many countries. Now, as this truth began to unfold to me, I had to make sure I was one that was baptized correctly. Baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When some of my friends that was very ardent supporters financially, I didn't have to worry about the money coming in. Thousands and thousands of dollars was pouring in as long as I stay when I Baal worship. And the moment the brethren found out that I've been rebaptized correctly, because you know the prophet of God tells us very clearly, you know, you come from a Trinitarianism, you're going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he preached the Feast of the Trumpet, he said, away with your oneness baptism. And he said, the baptism is a revelation. Saints of God, then I begin to find out the capstone revelation, he said, is the greatest revelation. And if you don't have that capstone revelation, then your baptism is going to be wrong. Then everything else is going to be wrong. And brother and sister, I want to be right. And God began to confirm his word to me. I walk obediently into the waters. I got rebaptized in the name. And brother, just to the devil, my name began to be spread across. As you know, I've gone off in error preaching two gods. But I wondered who is preaching two gods. I believe in only one God, and God had a son. My, it was great Jehovah God, Jehovah Elohim. My, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. I believe that. I stand upon that. And I know God had a son, because the prophet of God tells us this great supernatural being that pre-exists, that exists by himself. There was no air, no darkness, light, no nothing. He said, no sun, no moon, nothing. He dwelt by himself. He had thoughts. And then from that great eternal one came the Logos, and he said it was the anointing, it was the Son. And he said, now this great supernatural being, he spoke about the Father, no one can see him. He said, let's make a trip. And brother, I took a trip with a prophet to look beyond the curtain of time, to look before there was anything. And I saw where he said that he was by himself there when he began to create the world. Now, when the first atom bursted, and then he showed us here how that this sun came out, that anointing that came out. He said it was a sun, another being. He said, now you got two of them. Amen. He didn't say two gods. He said, you got two beings. And he showed us, you know, what a being is. Jesus Christ was the only personality of God, because it takes a body, soul, and spirit, amen, to make a person. God is a spirit, and that invisible spirit, as we see here, the King eternal, the King immortal, the invisible God, my, he's the one that never changes. He take different forms, he come in different theophanies, and he take that a visible son to declare him. No one had seen God, but the only begotten son had declared him. And brother and sister, God began to open my understanding, and I saw that in the beginning this is what happened. And then when the prophet, he preached a message in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where I'm from. And he made a statement even concerning the people of the Carolinas. He said, now, the other states, you forgive me, I'm not, you know, just putting you down. But he said, I'm going to spend eternity with these folks that are from North Carolina, from the Carolinas. He said, you know, I'll be with you. And I thought, my, he had a prophet of God making a statement like that in Jehovah Jireh. I said, thank God, I believe I'm included in that. I begin to understand that, because, you know, I want to make this thing personal, brother and sister. You can do whatever you wish to, but to me, it's a personal message to Almighty God speaking to my heart that you unveil this word to me. And then I find out where Brother Branham said, Jesus, that body that you see there that was born of Mary, he said that was not God. He said that was the tabernacle that God dwelt in. Amen. And we worship the true and living God, but we give honor to the Son, because, you know, the Son is the creature. He is not the creator. And sons of God, that is what the Holy Spirit began to open my understanding, where Jesus Christ himself said, I cannot do nothing. I'm not the healer. He said, it's my Father that dwelleth in me. And brother and sister, when he kept on saying that, then those scripture that God gave me, St. Luke 10:22. I know it is a reality, brother and sister. I've experienced it. I know it. And I'm not following cunningly devised fable. I've sat under many great ministries from 1969, being in the United States. I know practically every minister, every most of the doctrine that they preach. But you know, saints of God, I believe Almighty God, allow me to see and to understand what he's doing in this hour. And I'm thankful to God for the privilege to travel with my brother, Brother Tony, and the things that God has allowed him to say and do. Now, he might be a little sharp, and folks don't like that, but you know what he had said? It is not his idea, it is what the prophet said. And brother and sister, what the prophet said is my absolute. Because you see, on that day when I get before the, when we have to stand before the throne, and the question is asked, did you tell the truth? I'll have to say, yes. How did you know you tell the truth? I'll have to say, that one there, Brother William Branham, I got what I'm saying from him. And I know that he's going to be accepted. Because you see, when he went beyond the curtain of time, they told him he was a leader. When he goes back to earth, you know, he said, earth, you was a leader. And he said, will all leaders have to be judged like this? And the voice said, yes. Would Paul be judged like this? Oh, yes. And I believe, brother and sister, he was Christ to us for this generation. And he unveiled the mighty God. He'll be presenting us to Jesus Christ. So I know what the prophet said. I'm following that. And I'm thankful to God for this testimony and the opportunity to worship God, to believe and to know who God is, because Balaam said the message called a guide, and also in the rapture, he said the finishing of the seventh seal, you'll know who God is, you'll know who Jesus is. Amen. So we know who we are worshiping. We are not worshiping the Son, we are worshiping the Father. We are not vain worshippers, we are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So brothers and sisters, I want to say I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here in Durban, South Africa, and to be able to share some of these things. Like I said, there's a reproach for the word. There's a reproach for this message. When I came here in 2001, many of the brethren wanted us to come and minister in their churches. But then all of a sudden, my doors begin to close. And I talked with a group of ministers just recently, and they said, "My, we've been preaching these things. You know, one God and baptism coming from the oneness church. You know, we preach these things." And I thought, "My, you know, if that is what you've been preached, how come you're not supporting the meeting? Why you boycott the meetings?" Brother and sister, our testimony is going to stand against us on the day of judgment. And I pray that we all find a place to repent and get straight, walk, and instead of telling lies, because, you know, say, "Well, preachers lies, brother, there's 10 of them." We find out that Moses sent a spy out of the land, and 10 of them were lying preachers. Amen. They came back with a false report. But there was a Joshua and Caleb that had a different spirit. They said, "Let's go up and take the land." And saints of God, listen, we're not pulling no punches. We're speaking pretty plain. It might cause some to get upset, but listen, when Paul preached in Galatians 4:20, you know, he made a statement there. He said, "You know, you accepted me as the angel of God. There was a time that you was willing to pluck your eyes out and give it to me." He said, "Have I become your enemy for telling you the truth?" I said the same thing, brother and sister. You want to make enemies? Tell the truth. But you know, it will not make you popular, but it will make you honest. Amen. So God bless you. The prayer for heart. Don't want to take too much of your time. This is the, you know, our parting words here before we leave South Africa. And I want to say God richly bless you that who God has opened your understanding to this, the revelation that the prophet brought to us. And God, trusting that we will spend eternity together. Those whose eyes has not been opened, you have an opportunity to look into the things that are being said. The Berean, they were a little more better than the Thessalonians. They checked the word out to see what Paul said, if it was so. And they found out it was so. So may we be like the Bereans. Check everything out, because the prophet brought a message. He laid it out here. He said, "You ministers, I'm hitting the highlights. You take this and break it down to the people." So the responsibility is back on the ministers. So saints, cheer up. Look up. We have a responsibility. Say what the messenger said. Not just part of what the messenger said. Say all that the messenger said. Amen. What he said before 63 and after 63. We are willing to accept everything that the messenger said. Because I believe he was the servant of God. I believe he preached the word in a different season. There was a progressive revelation. And I'm thankful to God that where the word needed to be corrected, the Son of Man has corrected all errors. So according to what we are following, we are not following a man or cunningly devised fable. We are following a vindicated message. So may God richly bless you with the prayer for our heart. If we said anything that has offended you, please, we don't intend to offend no one. But if the truth offends, I cannot help that. I may offend you, but the truth, the message is truth. And if that offends us, it's time for us to repent. And do what the word says. Do our first works over. So God bless you. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you, brother.
God bless you, brothers and sisters. Amen. A warm greetings to all the ministers from the different assemblies and the believers as well. I trust that these few meetings that we've had from Friday to today has been enlightening to each of our hearts. Amen. I know sometimes certain subject matters are quite intense, especially if it's for the first time. Because, especially Godhead, Brother Brown says, he says, Christ will be revealed in the ceaseless eternity. So it's an ever unfolding of the same God. And you'd find that even if you hear it for the first time, it might seem so hard to understand. But as we showed the quote last night, Brother Branham was confronted with his wife, Mida, and she said, "You know, but Brother Branham, you know, this message is so complicated. How will you have simple people to understand it?" And he says, "God will break it down." Amen. That's in Gabriel's instructions, says God will break it down. God will simplify it, because the bride cannot be deceived, and she's got to know her God.
Amen.
Amen. And so we trust that this weekend has been enlightening, and it's good to have Brother Cyril. We heard his testimony this evening. Pastor Tony is going to minister. This morning we heard on worshiping God and honoring the Son. So often when you read your Bible, when you look at the word worship, you often think it's giving worship to God. But the worship in the Bible does not necessarily mean worship unto God. And that's where we have found out in our studies, we've been doing this for about over 8 years, that the Bible and the message is written in the language to confound the people, to cause them to stumble, to cause them to go away, to cause them to ponder over. But the bride, she will catch it, because she's got to come to know her God. Amen. So I greet you this morning, this evening hour, and it's also the believers that's across the world, from South Carolina, North Carolina, Dubai. There's Ghana in as well, Cape Town, Namibia. Some of the believers are streaming from Trinidad as well. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we trust tonight that you'll be blessed. Amen. This is our last meeting. We had a couple of questions. Some of the questions were answered yesterday. There's one more question that Brother Tony might do today, should time permit. But as I said, brothers and sisters, that Godhead is a subject that you cannot dismiss in 1 hour. Amen. Brother Joseph Kalinga, he knows. He's been preaching just like us for many years. Brother Mark knows about it. Brother Grace knows about it. They'll tell you it goes on for years and years. And so if ever you find that you can't find it easy to understand, it's just go back to what the messenger says. Go back to the tapes. Go back to the ministry that you've been listening to. And somehow or other, God will unfold these things to you. Because God's got to have a bride that will come to know Him. If we are wrong, then the others are right. But if the others are wrong, then we are right. The only way to gauge it, brothers and sisters, is through the message. Not through a church. Not through a man, but through what a vindicated messenger says. You know, we had, as I said this morning as well, we've had emails flying around in Durban condemning and criticizing what we've been preaching. And one minister wrote, he says, my academic understanding. Now, we don't need academic understanding. Okay, so when I looked at the letter, it says, my goodness, my academic understanding. We need a vindicated prophet. You see, we must be in a position. I teach our local church, just for you, for those of you that visit, I teach our local church, you must be in a position to refer the people back to what a prophet tells you.
Amen.
Not what you say. Not what you think. Or what your opinions are. Because that's where the problem is. And many people, because they cannot understand God, they cannot understand that there's a God who is a spirit, and he gave birth to a son. It's very hard to accept that. Very, very hard, because all the time Jesus was propagated in the seven church ages, the Son of God, as being God. And now when you have a ministry coming to reinforce the quotes of a prophet, it looks false. But if you search your Bible, Paul says, this is that which you call heresy, that's how I serve God.
Amen.
I trust the Lord will bless you. Let's all rise to our feet as we would invite to the pulpit this evening hour, dear Pastor Tony Gurulal, to minister the word of God. As musicians will play, only believe, all things are possible, only believe. only believer. It's my privilege to hand this pulpit over to Pastor Tony Gurulal to minister the Word of God.
Father God, we thank you one more time to be guarded, Lord, not by our own calling, but by the voice of a mighty angel, a prophetic voice, Father, a voice that seemed to, Lord, echo something within our souls and draw us unto it, Father. We are so thankful, Lord, that it's a pull and not a push. That it can pull us, Lord, into your great presence. And, Father, take us up into your great seventh seal where all things become a reality, Father, and where we can enjoy the blessings of manifested sons of God. Father, we realize that these things must first become a reality in our minds, must be spoken, that it'll go forth and create that which we believe. So we believe that there are the manifested sons of God here before us. We believe that the mind of Christ is here to be, Lord, become a reality through the preaching of the word, and that we would come to a recognition of who we are and who our Lord is and who our God is and the purpose that we have been called, and a great enlightenment of this hour. So as we sit here now at your feet to learn of thee, may you come, Father, and may you break the bread in a way that we can recognize that it is you. And Lord, we bind the spirit of fear, and Lord, we bind the spirit of confusion. And may the Holy Spirit go forth, Lord, for these meetings are so few, and the subjects are so few. Lord, help us then, Father. Give us a special auction that your people, Lord, might be able to grasp the reality of the greatness of the revealing of your word. Help us now is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you tonight. I invite you to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the 5th and the 6th verse. The 5th and 6th verse tonight. And I know we have some questions. I'm hoping that we would get to them. So tonight, I don't think I'd be able to maybe read a lot of the notes. It's going to be quite difficult, maybe just high points of support, and then hoping that the tapes will be taken and studied, and then it would be able to be broken down by the appropriate ministries. 1 Corinthians 8 and 5 says, "For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there are gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." May the Lord add a blessing, continuous blessing, as we listen and we hear the word. You may be seated. Now, in our Western world, in the Western way of looking, from the minute we hear the word God, or we hear the word Lord, we automatically think of only one thing. We think of the man Jesus, the Son of God. From the minute we hear the word God, whether it be this or whether it be this, or whether it be Lord, from the minute we hear this, we go here. And that's not all bad, for the simple reason is that God, who is invisible, had to have an object for you to relate to the true God. And he expected that. He expected for you, from the time you say a certain name or you talk about God, you focus here because this is where you can see his true characteristic. Now, like I told you, God is a spirit. No man at any time had seen him at any time, nor can see him or will ever be able to see him.
Amen.
All right? Like, and I said to you, if God and the man Jesus is one like your finger, then everybody saw him 2,000 years ago, and that would break every scripture in the Bible. You will not even need to know him. You'll just need an eye to recognize him. Is that right? But we notice that God can only be known by his characteristics. So he can take any veil he wants. Doesn't have to look like Jesus. And if you are elect, you would recognize him. So you can take a pillar of fire light and you could say, oh, that's a pillar of fire. No, you have to see the characteristics that that light is performing, what it's doing, because you can be deceived. Or if a man could impersonate and go into, let's say, Hollywood and get a... good to see you, Brother Henry. If you could go to Hollywood and get a plastic surgery and look just like that Hoffman head, right? Would that make you Jesus or would that make you God? He is only known by characteristics. All right? And these characteristics we call traits. We call them... traits, we call them attributes. All right, we call them traits, we call them attributes, we call them characteristics. All right, but all of these boil down to one thing. These are qualities. And in the Bible, the word deity means the state and quality of what makes God, God. And deity is represented by three words in the Bible. The word Godhead. Now, there are three words for Godhead in the Bible. The first one is Romans 1 and 20. The second one is Colossians 2 and 9. And the third one is Acts 17 and 24. Is that right, Brother Cyril, 24? I can't remember. You don't use it, you lose it. Now, the reason I'm saying all of this, you will get it in a minute, is because if God is only known by his characteristics, then when this man keeps saying, I am not the healer, he is denying that those characteristics of God is his. He is saying it belonged to someone. When he says, I don't, you know, only God that knows all things, and he shows me visions. Yeah. Visions of somebody's past, somebody's future, somebody's present. It means that this is the omniscient God. He knows all things, and that he does not know all things. Yeah. If he says, I cannot heal, he is not the omnipotent God. If he says, no, the miracles are not mine, but yet you are seeing them, it means somebody's qualities is being expressed. Okay? All right, so now, that's the deity qualities here. But I am going to show today, by God's grace, that Jesus the man was born from a blood cell. Now, in the days of Brother Branham, he called it a blood cell. In our day, we call it DNA. God designed a particular DNA. 1729. So, he designed this DNA, and this DNA has certain traits, certain attributes, certain characteristics, or certain qualities. Okay? So, here now you have biological qualities. You have biological qualities. So, you have two sets of qualities. In this man, a certain biological qualities, and in this man a certain deity qualities. Yet, he is not claiming any of those is his. Because he did not design himself. He did not father himself. He did not give himself those qualities. Every good and perfect gift, I don't care, biological, spiritual, emotional, whatever you want to call it, all comes from God.
Amen.
Everything. All life comes from God. He is the father of all life or spirit. Okay. Now, also, just for a note here, we know that it says here, though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, and as there be gods many and lords many. Now, that is true. But that doesn't change the fact that there is one God. Because prophets were called gods. John 10:34. Prophets were, who the word of God come to were called gods. Okay? Now, but these prophets all had flaws. You see, they all had first birth. But this man birth was not natural. It was supernatural. Amen. So he did not come by way of Adam. He did not come from an earthly way. This man was made in a heavenly way. His mind was designed by God himself in such a way, his biology, his body, in such a way, his psyche, his mind, his psyche, his thinking, everything was made in a way that was completely different from Adam. Because this is a masterpiece. This is the sculptor. This is the masterpiece. Amen. And the masterpiece needs to reflect God, who is perfect. Alright, I think we're on a roll here. Now, there be gods, there are many gods. There are gods who are prophets. And then, for them to be gods, sometimes you have false gods, which means it is a genuine gift, but being used by a demon. And when you have a demon that's anointing a gift, the demon did not give the gift. The gift come from God.
Yes.
Yet it is called a god. Now, demons also were called gods. If you go back to your Greek, you'll see that. And what I want to show you here, this is where you get ancestral worship. Because let's say you had a great warrior, great man. A lot of times, if he was, a boxer, I'm just saying if a boxer was a great man. Now, genetically, his genes are going to pass down. And every gift, I don't care who it is, every gift has a certain line that of demons that follow it. Prove it to you. Do you know the gift of prophets fell among the same family? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and watch the Lord, Joseph. Is that right? It followed along a line. That is why it might not be unusual, maybe for Joseph to have seen a vision or Rebecca to have seen one. I don't know. I don't go there. But I'm just saying it falls within a line. Okay? And so you'll find many a times in the Indian caste system, they kept them in a certain caste in India, right? Because it had merits that a family had certain traits, and a certain line of angels, whether good or bad, would follow that trait right through. It knows the weaknesses of that gene or genetics,
and it knows how to take advantage of it and how to lead it into temptation. Because Brother Bam said, God takes the man, but that spirit remains. The spirit that follows the line. You catch where I'm going? All right. Okay, and so they believe that if they were to worship this man, the original man with that gift that they saw, that the spirit that gave him those power, which they would call gods, would come upon them and follow the family line. And that's why Brother Bam said, ancestral worship started with Babylon. And though there be many lords, but to us there is but one God. We are not acknowledged. We know all of these things are true, but we know there is one God, and there is one major. There's another major Lord. This is one God, cannot change that. And then there's the Lord Jesus Christ. Firstborn. Okay? And I'm going to tell you one more thing. Prophet. That's the one thing we don't look at. Prophet. Now, if the Son of God is a prophet, was he not a prophet before God came to him at the Jordan River? If he was a prophet, what kind of prophet would he be? You see how it says there, but to us there is but one God. Though there be gods many and lords many, there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and one Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's go one more. Let's just take this for, I'm just hitting it. I just want to be honest with you. For your information, Hebrews 1 and 6, and I want to ask you this. Hebrews 1 and 6. And again, when he bringeth the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. We took that this morning. It means honor him as the firstborn. Okay? And of the angel, he said, who make it his angels who make it. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God, is forever. If the Son cannot be his own father, and he has a father, and it was God. Thy throne, and unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God. How many gods do you have? You still have one God. It means that this God, this word here, is used of him as a prophet. Because they call their prophets gods. And if he is a prophet, he will be the greatest of all prophets that was ever born. He will be a mighty God. But from a standpoint, I'm comparing with other prophets. But it never changed the fact that there is only one God. Otherwise, you will never be able to reconcile this statement. Who are the word of God comes to? Now, you say, but can this be true? Moses was told to be God to the people. Right? So I'm going to read that for you quickly. I want to do this so we get out of the way. That no matter if the Bible said, thy God, the Son, because the oneness want to say that. You see, they call the Son God. No. It is not. You can't change a one God who's his Father. You see, the oneness cannot use this. This is being compared to a Son. Here's the prophet. Listen, 34th thought verse, Jesus answered, it is not written in your law. Now here himself being the Son of God, yet said, I said, see the personal pronoun in it. I said, ye are gods. Ye yourself are gods. It is written in your law that I said, ye are God. Now it seems like if Jesus is saying that, but he's not. It's the Father speaking. He said, back to God again. They couldn't understand. One time it was God speaking, the next time it was Jesus speaking, and he seemed was a dual personality. So who said, have I not said ye are gods? Who said that? The Father. So who is going to say unto the Son, he said, thy throne is forever, O God. Who is saying that? God is saying to the Son, thy throne, O God, mighty prophet, like Moses, mightier than Moses, because he had no flaws. Okay. You say, Brother Tony, can you use the type with Moses? The Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet like me. That's Jesus' ministry. Isn't that right? So let's read. The word had to come to Moses first. See, Moses had the word. They were written by God. Nobody can interpret them. They were written by God. Nobody can interpret them. Moses had to interpret them first. That's the reason he veiled his face, because, see, here it is. We could pick it up and everything else, but it's got to be revealed. In order to reveal, Moses had to become God to the people. You say that's nonsense. Why? He told even Moses himself, you be God and Aaron be your prophet. See? So there he comes. See? He had a veil himself, because God is always behind a veil. Do you see it? God is hid from the public. I said, Father, I thank you. You've hid it from the wise and prudent and reveal it unto babes, to them that wants to learn. Unveiling of God again. He says, Moses had the word. I'm just reading the yellow. Now remember, after the word was made manifest, Moses was Moses again. See? But while the word was in him to be given out, he was God. Well, he wasn't Moses no more. For he had the word of the Lord for that age. Nothing can touch him until that was over. Had that word in him. Now, you believe we had a Moses today? And I told this man the other day, this feast had come out again, this man being healed. The same minister said, they make a God out of you, Brother Branham. Well, he was a critic, so I thought I'll just kind of break it off just a little bit, not to hurt, you know. I just said, is that too far from the scriptures? See, I said, no, it isn't. I said, because Jesus called prophets gods. Now I ask you the question. Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet unto you. If Jesus is a prophet, on the scale of a prophet, would he not be a God? I can't hear you. Does it change the fact of the one true and living God? Because they said there are gods many and lords many. Amen. Once you catch that, otherwise we will never be able to place Hebrews 1 and 6. The oneness that's going to say, you see, God is God, the Father is God, and here the Son is called God. But that's not true. He goes on to say, see, that's right, God. And they say, well, you people try to take the place of God. That's not too far out. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly God himself, man. So let me just tell you what. A prophet is God to the people. Did you know that? Because a prophet comes to take the place and speak to the people on behalf of God. So if the word is in him and God is invisible, who is speaking to you? God. So they take the place of God for that time. Amen. All right. I want to declare that peace up, because I know sometimes how the oneness operate. All right. Sons of God are called gods. Did you know that? Do you know Adam was a god? So are there gods many? Are there lords many? So a prophet is called a god. Now I'm asking, in Jesus' case, after he was begotten, I ask a question. He is a son of God, isn't he? Manifested son of God. He's a son. He's a prophet. Is that right? His sons called gods. God. Is that right? Isn't he a lesser God? As prophets called God. Alright? So, they both. So, will he not qualify for Hebrews 1 and 6? This is Hebrews 1 and 8, isn't it? Alright, can we read Hebrews 1 and 8 again? But unto the Son he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness, the scepter of thy kingdom. Now watch the next verse, because this is what's going to throw the light on it. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God. How many gods? One God. Even thy God had anointed thee. Well, we know who came on the Jordan River. The oil of gladness above thy fellows, above every single prophet. He was anointed above Moses. So he is a greater God than Moses. Do you mind if I call him mighty God? Compared to men, not God now, not compared to him. Mighty God compared to Moses and the rest of the prophets? Absolutely, he had no flaws. So Isaiah 9 and 6, can we read it? He comes to declare God, isn't he?
Yes.
Declare God. So in some way, Isaiah 9 and 6 must reveal God himself and his son. Father and son must be revealed in Isaiah 9 and 6. Okay. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, what kind of child is born? Scripture upon scripture, Isaiah 7:14, a virgin shall conceive. What kind of child? A God son. This is revealed father and son in that line. And the government shall be on his shoulders. Amen. So, who is going to make him a ruler? Who's going to give him the authority to rule? Amen. Who's going to make him a prince? Who's going to make him a king over the earth? God. Is it revealing the Son and the Father at the same time? Watch, let's declare the name. Amen. His name shall be called Wonderful. Well, that's a miracle worker. Miraculous. So he did miraculous things. But who is he saying doing the miraculous? He's revealing him, the supernatural God. Isn't that right? Okay, counselor. Let's see counselor. Let's say counselor. Isaiah 11. Let's see the counselor. So Isaiah 96 is revealing father and son. I can take it and make it all deity, God himself, or I can make it all son. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, a branch shall grow out of his root. Is that the son of God? And the spirit of Jehovah shall rest upon me. The spirit of what? Wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel. Who's the counselor? When they tried to trap him and said, should we pay tribute to Caesar? Who gave him the wisdom to say? Whose wisdom was that? That was God's wisdom. Amen. He said, as I hear, I speak. You said, prove it to me. When they was going to trap Brother Branham in that Chicago meeting, and the Lord said, come over by the window, and showed him they were going to change the room, where everybody would be sitting and what they were doing. Who said, come and bring your Bible and stand by my side? Three things you want to talk about. Isn't it the same God?
Amen.
Spirit of wisdom and understanding, of counsel. Now, what's the spirit of might? Hit might. Strength. Valor. Bravery. Might. Mighty deeds of God. Is he not wonderful? Miraculous? Amen. So Isaiah 9 and 6, while talking about the Son, is really talking about the qualities of the Father too. Again, let's go back. Okay, right. Counselor, mighty. Now this is where the problem comes in. They don't know when it says mighty God, that that's also written in. If he is the mighty God or the mighty prophet, who sent him? Did not God give birth to his Son? Isn't that right? So he is revealing Almighty God. Or I can just leave it like that and say mighty God, amen, as Jehovah. Because it is the Father being revealed in the Son. I can play anyhow I want. And that's what Brother Branham did. He tied the Father and Son qualities and revealed it sometime. Oh, that's the Son of God. Oh, that's Almighty God. Follow again. Everlasting Father. Let's take that. Let's go to Isaiah 22. Isaiah 22, 22. Let's read 21st verse. And I will clothe him with thy robe, strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand. Is that what Isaiah 9 and 6 says? And he shall be a what? But the question about it, when will he stop being king of the Jews? Will it ever stop? Will there be another king? Well, then he will be everlasting father to the inhabitants. Because his rule will never change. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. And I will give him the throne of his father, David. They used to call their kings father. They used to call their prophets father. My father, the horsemen's thereof. They called their prophets father. They called their patriarchs father. And they called their kings father. This is not talking about Almighty God. But it's showing you that God set up David to be the father of the nation. And it will be David's son that will have a throne that will not change forever. Out of the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. He shall open and none shall shut. And he shall shut and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. In other words, he will never lose his throne. And he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. Everlasting father to the nation, to the inhabitants. Can we go back to Isaiah 9 and 6? Prince of peace. What is he revealing? If there is a prince, there must be a king of peace. Melchizedek is his father.
Amen.
Amen? Okay, so let's move on. I would like to quickly do some things that we have not done. And to do it, I need to connect a couple of pieces. We know there is one God who had a son. Everybody agree with that? There's one God who had a son. To deny the Father and Son is Antichrist. Can we put that up? 1 John 2:22. I don't want to cut any shoulders. Who is a liar but he that denied that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denied the Father and the Son. If the Father was the pillar of fire, the Son was at the Jordan. This is Father, and this is Son. If the Father, who is the pillar of fire, doesn't come on the Son, then the Son cannot be Christ. Is that right? To deny that is Antichrist. To make him anoint himself one like your finger is sin. Whosoever denied the Son had not the Father, and he that acknowledged the Son had the Father also. Now let us go to 1 John chapter 5. This revelation comes only in our day. This only this day becomes sin. Not in the ages, because nobody knew him. Whosoever believed that Jesus Christ is, whoever believed that Jesus is the Christ is born again. To believe he is the Christ, you must believe in Father and Son. So they can say they believe in the Son of God, but they believe he is God in different forms. We don't. We believe there's a literal Son born of the Spirit. Amen. A virgin shall conceive. So how can a man or a ministry say that he's got a new birth and deny the truth of the unveiling of God today? And everyone that loveth him as begot, loveth him also that begot him. In other words, there are two loving there. If you love the Son, you love the one who also brought forth the Son. Jesus, if you love me, you will love my Father. If you know me, you would have known my Father. You cannot deny it. By this we know we love the children of God. Who are the children of God? Not everybody in the message. We know that because the children of God are them that are born of the Spirit. Not by the will of flesh. But by the... Not by the will of flesh. When we love God and keep his... commandment. Well, now let's take a look at that. Do you love God? 2 John 1 and 6. Let's see if you do. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. Oh, you see where this is love? It means love is equal to this. That we walk after. And what is this commandment today? His revealed word? Is this part of his revealed word, Godhead? Then if you say you love this message, and you say you love this prophet, and you say you love God, and you cannot and will not walk in this, then you love not God. Okay, now, watch very carefully. So, the evidence is that you walk. What is the gospel today? The gospel today is the revelation of the unveiling of God. The mighty God revealed. Right? We know that. Okay, now. Come down a little bit lower. The 9th verse. Listen carefully. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ had not God. So if they are not abiding in the doctrine of the hour, you say you're in the message, but if you are not, what is the doctrine? It is the unveiling of God. It's the mighty God unveiled. What you say, summarize the doctrine. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is Luke 17:30. We call it all different kinds of things, but that's the doctrine of Christ. If you have not the doctrine of Christ, you had not God. Amen. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he had both Father and Son. Now I want you to notice that word transgresseth. I picked it up this morning, but I forgot to really work it. Watch carefully. It is not to break a law. It means the ministry who go by the side of this doctrine. Go past. Or pass over without touching a thing. To overstep it. To neglect it. Right? To go past it or turn aside from it. To depart. You know, I don't touch them deep things. You know what I mean? Just love God. Which God? This is the promise of the hour. Amen. That I will give them a heart and they will know me. That's the promise, Jeremiah 24:7. To leave, to turn from one who abandons his trust. To transgress is the ministry who will not take the greatest revelation that there is, which is the revelation of Almighty God revealed in his own word. Revealed in flesh. Revealed as Son of Man. The unveiling of God. And when you do not preach the theme of the age... When you do not preach the theme of the age, it's like Luther not preaching justification. It's like Wesley not preaching sanctification. It's like the Pentecostal not preaching, amen, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit. It is like a bride who does not know her bridegroom. Because you've got an earthly bridegroom and you have a heavenly bridegroom. Did you know that? You have a natural union and you have an invisible union. And the prophet talked about the marriage being in two parts, one here and one there. And everybody's fighting. Oh, it's here. And the next one says, I got quotes for it here. Marriage is a process. Amen. It's not like we think it's just at the altar. It's a process. Amen. So, a man might say, I just say what he says. Then you have no right here. This is not a place to be safe. If God calls you, He'll keep you. Amen. Otherwise, you'll kill the people under you. Even if you play it safe, they will die because they do not get what they need to be booted, to be quickened. This is not a place to want to be. And Durban needs to know that. Now, if they don't, now you say, Brother Tony, this is pretty radical. I don't know. I didn't write it. If there come any of you and abided and bring not this doctrine, they got a oneness. Receive him not in your house. Would you bring a Catholic statue in your house? Would you bring a Catholic in your house to come and tell you about God, about their Trinity? I can't. Let me ask you, pastors. Will you bring a priest to come and preach in your house and wish him Godspeed? Would you bring a oneness from your denomination to do it? God's word calls for total separation from all unbelief. That don't mean you can't have friends. That don't mean you can't socialize, but it comes to fellowship. This is fellowship.
Amen.
Neither bid him Godspeed. Brother, you can't get my house. This is my house. This is my household. You are my household. Amen. You can't come here. Not with that. You can't come here with that. Amen. You are of another body. You are of another kingdom. You serve another God. You've got another altar. You can't come here. Neither bid him Godspeed. For he that bid him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. You see, a church who is a oneness, after they heard the truth, oh, we don't see it your way. We something else. No, it's all right. But you know, we're having this meeting. We'd like for all you all to come over. If I give an offering, I am helping to support something that is killing people, because ministry are mass murderers. We are mass murderers. If I am wrong in this, I'm killing every one of you. Not Hitler. We. That is why, friend, for myself, I always want to hear. If I know what the man believes, well, I already know that. But if I haven't heard, I want to hear. I don't want to label something false unless I hear it. Because one day I'm going to see a brown bag and somebody say, that's an old, dirty brown bag. But if it got $1 million in it, I want to make sure. Check it out for yourself. You got seed, you got gene. But as ministers, it is our job to search it all. Because when there is error, you need to have the answer for your people. And not hearing it doesn't mean you have the answer. Because they're going to hear it through the internet or somewhere, they're going to hear it. You have to build up an immunity to them. Only time you ever quarantine your people, the only time you quarantine your people is when you don't have an inoculation. If you don't have an immunization for them, then you have to lock the people up. Isn't that right? Or otherwise, if you're always locking them up, it means that you ain't never got no answer for nothing. Or it means them people just got a bad immune system. Might be AIDS or something. They catch everything. That's not how God expects His children to grow. We take seven thunder. We can tear that down in 5 minutes. Seven thunder give rapture in faith. That's true. But seven thunder doesn't give virtue. Seven virtues. Because thunders give rapture in faith, and faith cometh by hearing. Virtues come by suffering. That's development. And I know the quotes. It's a life thundering out in holiness and sweetness, lived lives. But the same prophet who said that from an evangelistical standpoint also said in the seventh sea, what are these seven thunders? He said, I don't know. It moved in a threefold mystery. They're built on information. You say, oh, that's the man going to the rapture. Absolutely, because he has rapture in faith with the character. But the prophet of God said, you don't even need to be converted to have these virtues. He said, not even. He said, you don't even have to be a Christian to have these virtues. You can't hide it from them. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of noise that goes along with it. True, but it's been going around a long time. Noise. It doesn't work, friends. You've got to come back to a sane gospel. Amen? It's a serious time. It's a time for true ministers who believe alike to work together. It's a time where you must follow the exact instructions of a prophet. Ministers' meeting is not to be held by men of different ministers from all over that come, and then they appoint a chairman. Or is it you be chairman? That doesn't work so. You have to have a man they respect, like an elder. Somebody who had fathered other ministries. They see them, they respect him. And then you get together and he's like a father. He loves them. They love him. They trust him. And even when the young men have different thoughts, if that man voices opinion, nobody's going to cut him off because he's one of us. That's not our man. But when it doesn't operate like that, it becomes the counsel of the ungodly. Because spiritual wickedness hides in what places? And what's the highest place in the bride? Ministry. And let's say now the main ministers and those are not born again. They're not converted. What is going to happen? They can call evil good. And they can call good evil. And who's to say? I want to ask you, you want to continue to have a Durban the way Durban is? Well, you have to do something about it. The church is sovereign, not the pastors. Remember that. Remember that. I tell you, friends, this is the hour for this bride. She will not be deceived and she will not be manhandled for long. God will raise up ministries to take her on to perfection. Ministries that will not intimidate by fear and by man-made offices and appointments or anything like that. But yet she will be respectful because where the word is, she will honor.
Amen.
Follow. I'm going to do this quickly because I have to. I am going to show tonight, Lord willing, that if you have another Jesus, you are going to have another message. It's going to mean something completely different to you. And you're going to have a false birth. Because I'm saying, if Brother Louis is preaching this for so long and believes this, and you believe it, you're saying, I got birthed. How can you preach another completely different Jesus in another message, church, and they be birthed too? God might as well give birth to the Oneness Church. Somebody is not birthed. You say, well, I live right. That has nothing to do with birth. Birth has to do with understanding.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with your living or your believing or your loving. It has nothing to do with that. The evidence of birth is a gene, and the gene gives you the ability to understand so that you don't misplace, dislocate, misinterpret. Because that means missing the mark, and that is what sin is. Okay, it's the ability. The gene gives you an ability. It does not give you the ability to live right. It gives you the ability to understand, because foolish virgins live right and they don't have a gene. Let's take one more with love. You see, love is walking, right? But let me show you one more. You cannot walk unless you see. You cannot see unless you have a gene. Right? And you cannot love the truth. You can love the message. But when the truth of the message is brought up, you can't have a love for it. Because Hebrews 5:5 says, the love of God is shared abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost which is given to you. The Holy Ghost which is given is the new birth. So that gene loves truth but hates error, because it seals you. You say, can that be true? It seals you according to 1 John 3:9. A son of God, one who is born again, cannot practice sin because his seed remains in him. So this is my aim tonight. To show you, you have another gospel, another message, if you have another Jesus. Even though you're in the same message church. I mean, you're in a message church. I mean, you say, Brother Tony, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to tell you, it's so close, you'll deceive the very elect of God. The message is so close. And it's so obvious that you dress the same way as most message churches. You have the same COD. You have the same books. You have the same quotes. Well, how come you both don't see the same thing? Did I ever quote to you, somebody is deceived? Or you think that all the good people in Louis Church is going to go on all the good people in this one church and all the good people in that church? You think, is that what you think? Doesn't work like that. It's the unity of the faith. You must have the same. All right, quickly. Now somebody says, Brother Branham is a oneness. No, sir, I'm not a oneness. I'm like to change it. Somebody say Elijah is a oneness. No, sir, I am not a Baal worshipper. I do not believe Jesus can be his own father. I believe Jesus had a father, and that was God. What he's saying here, I believe Jesus has a beginning. God has no beginning. And to worship the beginning that has a beginning is to worship nature and creation, and that's what Baal worship is. Second, but Jesus said, as you believe in God, believe also in me. Is that right? They were God believers, believing in his Father, but they must believe that he was the Son sent from the Father. Not the Father playing another role as Son. He is the Son sent from the Father. Is that right? Not the Father, but he was the Son sent from the Father. Hebrews. This son has mother and father. He wasn't the son of God. Melchizedek wasn't the son of God. He was God of the Son. I like that. He was the God of the Son. All right? But he was the father of the Son. Melchizedek wasn't. He wasn't the son of God. Melchizedek wasn't. Okay. Mount. This is future home now. Tell me if there's still a father and son. And on top Mount Zion will set a lamb, and the city will need no light, for the lamb is a light thereof. And above the lamb will be the Father, which is the Logos, God, the great light, the eternal light, that will shine just above the throne. And Jesus will not be on his Father's throne, he will be on his throne. Is the Father and Son still in the future home? Show us the Father. There's one God. There's only one God. And I disagree with the organization that calls oneness like your finger is one. That's wrong, absolutely wrong. Jesus couldn't be his own father, so therefore Jesus is not that one God. Can I read it that way? There's only one God. All right? But I disagree with the oneness like one like your finger. That's wrong, absolutely. Jesus couldn't be his own father. All right? He couldn't be his own father. If he couldn't be his own father and God was his father, then the Son is not that one God. It's the Father is that one God.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
And if God is a man, then Jesus was sexual born and not virgin birth. That settles the whole thing, you see. If he's one like your finger, then he is his own daddy. How could he be? That's wrong. He had a father, Jesus did. All right. Now, we know that Jesus now, that father and son has a name. What is the name? What is his name and what is his son's name? No one can tell us that except under this day and this message. Now we find out that Jesus also said, I came in my father's name and you received me not. The name of the father must be Jesus. So the one God is Jesus. His son. What is his name of his son? Jesus. God only had one name and that name is Jesus. Hebrews 1 and 4. Paul said he inherited his name. The son inherited his name. Where do you inherit a name from? Your father. All the heaven and all, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. So we are named after the Father, not after the Son. I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God. I'll write upon him the name of my God. What is the name of God? Jesus. If you want to jot that down, we're getting late. Jesus said, in heaven and earth, all is named Jesus. Now, we've seen these, right? One more. He's interpreting again. The bride is a Gentile. The Gentile has his name. He took a people out for a Gentile for his namesake. Acts 15:14. And after they had held their peace, James saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me, Simon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is all the same, Jesus, 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 Jesus the Father, Jesus the Son, Jesus the Bride. All right. Again. Calling Jesus on the scene. If you do not believe that there is a Father whose name is Jesus, he is God, his name is Jesus, he was Jehovah of the old. Is that right? And he is the anointing Christ. He's the anointing. He anoints men of the old. Or the anointer. All right? The anointing or the anointer. All right. Okay. And then there is the Son. And his name is Jesus. Is that right? And he is the anointed one. Anointed one. Okay. So now, it's telling me here, in this quote, I want to know, if there is a Jesus who is the Son and Jesus who is the Father, it says calling Jesus on the scene. Which Jesus is supposed to be on the scene today? It can't be him because Acts 3:19-21 say the heavens must retain him. Until the restoration of all things. All things hasn't been restored yet, so we can't meet him in the air. Right? Okay, what is the restoration of all things for us? It means fellowship with God. It means back in our position of authority and title deed. Then we can go meet him. Right? And then he'll take you up the new heavens and the new earth. All right, so we are knowing this. Now, this is what I want to show you right here. Number one. If you don't have a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ the Son, when it says calling Jesus on the scene, from the minute a minister picks up that book, calling Jesus on the scene, he will never ask if he's a oneness, which Jesus are we talking about? He's already in sin from the minute he picks up that book. From the minute he takes up the message, Jesus keeps all his appointments. He doesn't even know when he's coming back. That's in the Father's hand. So who is the Jesus that keeps all his appointments? God, when the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. God kept the appointment 2,000 years ago. Who do you think is going to keep the appointment of Brother Branham today? So I'm asking, from the minute they take up a title of a book, it's already sin. Is it another gospel? Is it another message? I'll take one more. So we would see Jesus. Which Jesus do you want to see? I'm trying to find you something here that I... These glasses are good, but I just can't find this thing. I'm looking for recapping. It's not here, is it? No, I don't have it. If you want, you can type it in and try to find it. You came to Jesus to see Jesus. They came to Jesus. The Greek came to Jesus to see Jesus, the man who can raise the dead. He couldn't do it. The Greek came to Jesus to see Jesus, but they couldn't see him. He was in his human temple. You know the quote? Which Jesus do you want to see? The one who could say, I can do nothing? Or the one who can do all things? Sir, we would see Jesus. Which one? If you were the Greek, which one you wanted to see? So is the gospel, from the minute that you have the wrong Jesus, do you have another gospel? So which one is promised to be on the scene? There we go. Unveiling of God. Okay, let's see the beginning. Now, if you are a oneness, you'll never pick this up. If you're a oneness, you'll never pick it up. You're already blinded. It's a delusion over the oneness. They cannot see. They got stirred up about this man who could heal the sick and could foretell things that happen. Now, you know the man cannot do that. You see? And they got stirred up. They come to him. Now, watch close now. When you see a prophet say, watch close now, watch close. Don't miss this, see? And they come that day and said to Philip, which was of the tester, sir, we would see Jesus. The one who could discern the heart and heal the sick. And Philip and another disciples brought him to Jesus to see Jesus. Alright? Going up a little bit. Now notice the very word that Jesus reported back to them. For they come to see who he was and they couldn't see him. They seen the form, but he was in his temple. God, the one, the Jesus, which is God, that they wanted to see, was in his temple. Amen. So this calling Jesus on the scene now, let's look at this. Which one is he being called? All right. So let's take a look again. The Bible said in Colossians 1:15, we worship an invisible God. So that's the invisible Jesus was in his temple. God in his temple. Do you believe that? Then this person coming around with nail prints, smoke of blood, everything else, that wouldn't make him God. We worship an invisible God. He was always been invisible until he identified himself in Jesus Christ. Is that right? The pillar of fire that Moses saw was not the invisible God. The pillar of fire was the Shekinah glory that represented that the invisible God was at hand. And when John the Baptist baptized Jesus, the Son of God, there's a Jesus who is the Son of God. Hallelujah. And there's Jesus who is the invisible God. All right, watching now, what is he going to do it now? The invisible God came down in the form of a light, shaped like a dove, sailing down through the air. The invisible God identified in the Shekinah glory. The same invisible God identified himself in the pillar of fire, a Shekinah glory, when they dedicated the temple at Solomon. It come in, the pillar of fire went in behind the curtains, the holy, and the Shekinah glory was identified. Now when Paul was on the road to Damascus, the invisible Jesus Christ, not the Son of God Jesus, the invisible Jesus Christ, the one that they came to see but couldn't see, they saw the visible one. Identified himself to Paul in the form of Shekinah glory. A light that will put out the sinner's eyes. The same Shekinah glory is here tonight. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So this Jesus is not God himself. He is God by incarnation. He is God by representation. He is God by expression. He is God by image. He is God by species, by blood. Amen. But he is not God in himself. He come to reveal him. Amen. Okay? So this Lord Jesus Christ is Hebrews 4:12, the discerner, 12 and 13. He is also Hebrews 13 and 8. Because he has a beginning, so he can be the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Jesus that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was with Abraham. He was with Moses. He was with Jesus. And he is here today with William Branham. He was with Paul. Right? So that's Hebrews 13:8, which is Malachi 2 and 6. I am God and I change not. Right? Follow again now. Are you there? So that's Hebrews 13:8. So now, if he is Hebrews 13:8, then he, this one, is the I Am. And the I Am was in the beginning, was the Word. Because the Word is God. So, this Lord Jesus is the Word. This Lord Jesus is God. This Lord Jesus is the I Am, Jehovah of the old, called himself Jesus of the new. This Jesus is the manifested Word. The Word come to the prophet, you see. He is the express Word. Or he is the living Word. He takes the thoughts of God and express it to himself. Now, I'm very well pleased in this, dwell, that to occupy, come in a house and live. In him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. That's right. The image of the invisible, the visible image of the invisible God. He is the visible image of the invisible God. The visible image of the invisible God. I want to say one more thing here. I want to say that this, him, is the Godhead. And in the message, this day the scripture is fulfilled, the prophet of God say, Elohim is the fullness of the Godhead. He is not the Godhead. The Godhead was in him. Now, let's take the name. I just want to finish it off. Then we see in the scriptures that God, comma, after dwelling in Christ, comma, after dwelling in his Son, had returned back again by the name of Jesus in the same light he was in the beginning. If I was to say this, because most of you know the message by heart, but you know it in a wrong way, because your Godhead was wrong. So let me quote it to you this way. There is a Jesus that died, buried, resurrected, ascended, and is sitting on the throne forever living to make intercession. And there's a Jesus who died, buried, resurrected, ascended up with his Son, and came back on the day of Pentecost. Died, buried, resurrected, glorified body, sitting on the throne, even now forever living to make intercession. Died in him, buried in him, resurrected in him. Amen. Went up with him, but came back down on the day of Pentecost as the pillar of fire or the Holy Ghost dispensation. If he is Hebrews 13:8, then you'll hear the prophet and you read it and you believe it and you've been taught it. Jesus come in three sons' name. If they never told you or asked you which Jesus, who Jesus come in three sons' name? Because he is not here today and we have Son of Man. And Son of Man is a son name, isn't it? So he is one that come as Son of Man in Jesus. Amen. He came as Son of God on the day of Pentecost. Amen. He comes today in Brother Branham as Son of Man. And he will incarnate his Son in Revelation 19 and come Son of David. Amen. This Jesus. This Jesus here. Not him. Now, is it another gospel you've been hearing? Is it another message you've been hearing? But yet so close to deceive the very elect of God. You say, Brother Tony, it's confusing. But if a little gene on the inside will tell you, amen, but it sounds like truth to me. Amen. That's all you need. Amen. You don't need a gift to explain it like us. You're not called to do that. But if that little something on the inside goes beyond human thinking, amen, and say, but there's something there. Investments. And when Saul Paul or Saul recognized that God come, Jehovah come, the pillar of fire, the Old Testament, had called himself Jesus. That's how you know Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. Not him, him. Okay, now watch what I mean. But if you have a Baal of the old, is another Jesus of the new. Because when you make the creation him, you are a Baal worshipper. So Baal of the old is when you believe in another Jesus of the new. And you take the creation because you only have one like your finger, you see. So you only know one Jesus. The mystery has not been made known in the ministry. Look, you know, they're going around, Brother Louis. You hear the new one. Do you all believe in two Jesus? I guess Brother Branham was probably, if he was living, he'd probably say, you went off. So we will see Jesus. Look, when he was here on earth, how many know that that was the pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel? And it was Christ, the angel of the covenant. All right. How many know that was Jesus in Jesus? Yeah, that same spirit. So which Jesus you want to see, friends? All right? Amen. Now, I'm going to do one thing here because I hadn't done it since I've been here. And I need to do it because if I don't, so the reason they couldn't understand him, sometimes it might look like he turned his head, say something different. It was him speaking and the Father speaking. Is that right? Even the apostles, disciples did not understand him. After all that time, they couldn't get it. That sometimes he'll say this and he'll say that. It was him speaking and the Father speaking. Okay, now listen closely. God dwelling in Christ used his voice to speak. So I'll give you a perfect example. Philip says, show us the Father. And a voice says, Philip, I've been with you so long and you don't know me. That was the Father speaking. Amen. Then in the same voice, the next line is, Philip, when you see the Father, you see me. Two people spoke, one after the other, and you would never know. Amen. Watch again. God will use his voice to speak. Jesus said in the miracles, very, very, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing himself, but he sees the Father do it. Amen. Now we want to see him at his work. Jesus was born for one purpose, and that was for God to manifest himself through that body. All right. Christ seemed to be a dual personality. He would speak sometimes, would scratch your head, and they didn't understand him. He'll speak one thing one time and look like something else another. What it was Jesus speaking, then Christ speaking. Jesus was the man. Christ was the God that was in him. So Christ is the God or the anointer or the anointing that was in the man, the veil. Now I want you to make sure that Christ was the God, right? So Moses esteemed the riches of Christ was not this Christ, it was this Christ. You believe that? So now I want to ask you, when it says Christ revealed in his own words, was it him? Is his own words? When it says Christ revealing his own word, who is the Christ being revealed? Because it said God in sundry times. Speak unto the fathers and the prophet. It is God's word coming through the prophet. Amen. And then God spoke in his son. The doctrine is not the son's. So who is being revealed in his own word? God is the word. So Christ revealing his own word is not talking about the son of God. But if you don't know the difference, and you have one like your finger, you have already perverted that message from the time you picked it up. Amen. So close, Matthew 24:24. So I go to hear a man preach. From the minute I know he's a oneness, his teaching already revealed to me, he is not booted. He needs to get in contact with a minister or a lay member who knows the word, who has life. Talk to him life. And if there's a gene in it, he says, you know, something about that. And then he goes to look at it, and all of a sudden the Bible becomes a new book to him. Then you know he's born again. You can be in it for 50 years and not be born again. You could preach it for 30 years and not be born again. Now, when he said, I perceive you to be a prophet, we know prophets cometh. He said, he will tell us these things. That was the work of Messiah. What is Messiah? Well, it's the Logos. It's the Spirit of God. So the Messiah or the Christ is not the man. That's the veil for the Messiah to use. That's why he's called the anointed. The real Messiah is God. The real Messiah is God. Christ means anointed one. In the Hebrew, is Messiah. That's a Hebrew word. That's a Greek word. Is that true? Now I'm going to throw something at you. Brother Branham was the Messiah for today. Amen. He was the anointed one. Messiah is the Spirit of God. I can't hear you. The Christ. So who is the one revealing his own word? Isn't God the word? He's been revealing his own word. Who is the Christ identified for all ages? Is it him? It looks like him because the Spirit was in David, came back in the fullness and acted in him. Amen. But he is the one that was in David. But in Jesus, he came and acted out in its fullness. It was not he that was in David. It was he that was in David. Now, watch carefully what she said. You must be a prophet. We know Messiah coming to tell us these things, but who are you? He was the only one that could ever. The only one that will ever be able to say it. I am he that speaketh to you. What was that? That was God speaking through his son. That wasn't the son saying, I am he that speaketh to you. That was the father saying that. Because the father knew her. The son didn't know her. The father discerned her. The father went looking for her. Because she was seed. Listen to these words. He said, I am he that speaketh with you. She quickly recognized the sign of Messiah. And that was Messiah's sign. So the Messiah's sign is not talking about Jesus. The Messiah's sign was performed through him. But the Messiah's sign belongs to him. He could perform it in any veil he wants. Genesis 18, Jesus, Brother Branham. He is the same. Today. Same yesterday, today and forever. First seal. It is God. You see, now let's look at what the revelation of Jesus Christ means. That's altogether the revelation of the Lord Jesus. The revelation of Jesus Christ. It's God revealing himself in the book. Revealing himself through Christ in the book. And Christ is the revelation of God. He came to reveal God because he and God were the same. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. You cannot reveal and express if they are not equal. The object must be equal to the expression in every way. Otherwise, you did not see it. I used to think years ago that God was angry at me, but Christ loved me. Come to find out, it's the same person. Christ is the very heart of God. What is it? Everything you see Jesus did and said was because he is the one who was expressing it. You did not see something different. I'm going to skip. In the Old Testament, when it come to the one Jesus, which was the Son of God, it come to him without measure, the fullness of the God embodied within him. He was the perfect example. He was God of glory, manifesting the glory of God to the people, God in him going about. Watch his life. All the Old Testament, he was the theme of the Old Testament. The old prophets back in the Old Testament cried out, not to themselves, they cried out under the Spirit of God, making them act like God in so much that they were called gods. And then the fullness of the Spirit was manifested in Jesus. I wanted to read something here, but I seem I can't find it. But I wanted to show you who is the resurrection and the life. The resurrection, okay. Let's take it from here then. And when Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am He. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father had taught me, I speak these things. It's not His words. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I always do those things which please Him. And I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which you have seen with your Father. I guess we are back to the same old thing again today. For he whom God had sent speaketh the words of God. He that had received His testimony had set this seal that God is true. But now he seek to kill me, a man who told you the truth, which I have heard of God. So the truth that he was speaking was not his own. Jesus said unto him, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceed and came forth from God. Neither came I of myself, but I sent him. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my words? And Jesus answered and said unto them, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. If any man will do his will, he will know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. He that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true. Did not Moses give you the law? It's not Moses' law. God gave it to Moses. But it's called Moses' law. It's called Jesus' words. But it's really God's words. And yet, none of you keep the law. I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me commandments what I should say and what I should do. What I should say, what I should teach, what I should do. So whose doctrine is it? Whose teaching is it? So I'm going to say this now, since you know that. I am the resurrection and the life. Who's that? Well, that's a funny one. Because that's a political answer. I am the resurrection and life. Which one is speaking? The top one? Why? Because the Bible said God raised Christ from the dead and set him on his right hand. You say, but he said, you know, no man take my life. I lay it down. I lay down my life, I take it up again. Isn't that what he said? You read the next line. The next line says, this commandment I have of my Father. Is it all right? What's the promise? Brother Bram said, Jesus went to Calvary with one promise. Psalms 22. I will not leave his soul in hell, neither will I suffer my Holy One to see corruption. That's the only promise he went to Calvary with. So who is the resurrection and the life? You say, prove it to me. All right. Who descends in 1 Thessalonians 4:14 through 16? Him or him? We did it so many times for the last couple of days. Which one? Which Lord descends? The one who makes him Lord? The top one. The Lord himself. He can't come. The heavens must retain him. So he comes down. This Jesus does all three as he descends. This Jesus does all three. This Jesus does all three before this Jesus appears. If you read Rapture Message very carefully, there are two Jesus there. If you get them mixed up, you're in trouble. Because God cannot change. He rose Jesus, which was the Son of Man 2,000 years ago, and then them that followed Jesus after his resurrection. Then if it's going to be a resurrection and rapture again, he's got to raise Brother Branham, a type of Son of Man, and then all the seven church ages will follow him. Isn't that right? You got to get your Jesuses right. I know that his commandment is life and everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. Believest not thou that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Amen. I think I pretty much you can convince henceforth. Whose doctrine is it? Is that right? For I've given them the words which thou hast given me, and they have received it. So who is the Christ that is revealing his own words? Him or him? All right, so let's finish this up. Water baptism. What was happening at water baptism? That was God coming into Jesus. If you make Jesus God, then you have two gods. You have to make him the Son of God. God coming into him. All right. Okay. Now look at this little 12-year-old boy, not knowing. He said he was just a boy, but he was a word. Why was he the word? He was a prophet, see? He said, "Know ye not, I must be about my father's business." You see, the word correcting the error. This little boy, 12-year-old, no wisdom at all. Why? But just 12-year-old, the father didn't dwell in him at that time because he came on the day when he was baptized. He saw the Spirit of God. Now, okay, so we've moved. We moved quickly. Now, the question is, why did he make him Lord and Christ? Why is he made our Lord? Why do we call him Lord? And who made him Lord? Because the Bible said no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Why? Why can't you say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit? Anybody know? I know you say, "Brother Tony, you're the guy who's up here working. I'll share my salary with you." Ah, better rub it off too. We have the Father, and I know you know this, but to build for my next sex, I have to do this. We know this is the Father, right? And we know that he's the Father. We know that he is God. And we know that he has no beginning, he's eternal. Okay? Then we know that he has a son. He's made his son Lord. He inherits his name Jesus. And he's the anointed one. These two words are not the same. The reason you cannot call him Lord is because he made him Lord. This is what he said here. "For David has not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Therefore let the house of Israel know surely that God had made that same Jesus, whom he crucified, both Lord and Christ." So the one who crucified, is he the one who was crucified? We made him Lord and Christ. Okay? So there is a Lord who has been made Lord, and there's a Lord who made him Lord. Now, there's still only one God. Right? There's still only one God. So, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to be able to distinguish these two Lord Jesus Christ. Because he says, "I can do nothing. It's not my doctrine. It's not my teaching. It's not my miracle. I can't raise the dead." Yeah. Right? So, why does it give it all power and authority is given unto me? Well, he said, "Sit on my right hand. The Lord said unto my Lord." Sit on my right hand. And that means authority, isn't it? Now, this is spoken of in Matthew 28:18. "All power and authority is given unto me." It is spoken of also in Matthew 16:16. "In my name," which means in my authority, "shall they cast out devils." It's also 1 Peter 3:22. "Having angels and principality become subject unto him." Okay, now the reason that he is made Lord is five reasons, and I know you know them. What's the first one? Firstborn. The law of the firstborn. And the law of the firstborn says that all his brothers will become his servants. And Paul says, "I am a servant of Jesus Christ, this one, by the will of God." Now, we ministers don't have a ministry of our own. We represent the Son of God.
Amen.
When I lay hands on someone, it is his hands. And God will honor it.
Amen.
And I preach in his name. Is that right? We say we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. All right? So we got to lift him up. And when we lift him up, we'll draw men and God will fill them with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Okay. The second reason he is King of the Jews. Is that Daniel speak there? King of the Jews. And King of the Jews, I'll make my Psalms 89. I'll make my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Is that right? 3. He's an overcomer. See? And an overcomer, when he conquered death, hell, and the grave, God made him Lord over all. 1, 2, 3, 4. He is, what else? He is the husband to the church. And the husband of the church, he is automatically, Sarah call her husband, Lord. 5. He is the high priest over the house of God, and the house is not the building. The house of God is the sons of God. This is why he's made Lord. But he's not made God. He's made Lord. Okay? With that being said, there are three folds to reveal this. The three folds are one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Why did the Son of God come? The one Lord. That is our Lord. The one Lord that is our Lord. Why did he come? He came to reveal this Lord. So through this Lord, he reveals the Lord. And he reveals that we are sons of God, kings and priests, that we are lords too. One faith. Faith in Christ. When you have faith in Christ, God confirms to you your faith by giving you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is faith of Christ. Right? And then if you have faith of Christ, there's a message to lead you into maturity and take you to perfect faith. So the one faith is a threefold mystery. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. When you accept Christ, you publicly come to water baptism as a symbol of your public testimony of death, burial, and resurrection, your identification with Christ and the body, the church. Is that right? Water baptism brings you in the local church body. But that sets you up for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which brings you into the body of Christ, not the local church. Right? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. So you have water baptism and you have spirit baptism. Is that right? From the one baptism unfolds the threefold mystery. And then the last baptism is the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, which is the new heavens and the new earth, or your body change. Okay? So now I'm just going to give you an example. In Acts 10:36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Which Jesus is Lord of all? Him or him? This, he made him Lord of all. Right? Second, Acts 17:24, God had made the worlds and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth. Which one? Who created the heavens and earth is Lord of him. So do you need to have a revelation of your Lord? That's why you cannot call Jesus Lord without the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right? Okay, because if you don't, you're going to mess it up. Now, so does it change your Bible? Does another Jesus, if you have the wrong Jesus, does it change your message? Does it change your message? Does it change your gospel? Just answer honestly. Somebody will tell somebody and you'll get in trouble anyway. But be honest. If you have the wrong Jesus and the wrong Lord and you have one, wouldn't you pervert the message of the prophet and the Bible too? You would, wouldn't you? Amen. And then if you pervert it, then if you add or take away, your name will be taken off the book. Now you understand why it's only one in a million and a message will make it. Until you get desperate and God show you this, that you get desperate and serious, you're not going to go anywhere. It first takes a reverence and a humility. And then it shakes you, all your foundations. Then you have confidence in nothing and you start over. That's how it works. Now, three dispensations of one true God. God is spirit, unseen, invisible, will always be, and reveals himself in three dispensational offices. Reveals himself in different veils, fatherhood in Moses, the prophet, in sonship in his son Jesus, the man, in the Holy Ghost dispensation, Brother Branham in type, Paul, whatever. What is sonship? Now, I want you to notice here. Again, I will erase, but I'll have to, let's see this. Can I do here? Go baptize in the name, singular name, of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Is that right? And Acts 2:38, so Matthew 28:19, guards the book of Acts 2:38, right? Abraham said the gospel guards the book of Acts. It keeps it balanced. Brother Branham says the Trinity people say this is one person, this is two person, this is three person, and they make these three nouns. Is that right? And Brother Branham said these are not persons because we don't believe in three gods, we believe in one God. Is that right? He said, we don't believe in three gods. He said, we believe in one God. So the prophet said, this is not a noun. This is a dispensation. And a dispensation is not the name of any person, thing, or whatever. Right? It is an office. So this is not persons. This is dispensation. And of course, you know what dispensation means. It means the way that God runs his house by the word, the law. In each age is different. So I'm going again. How many gods are there? One God, isn't it? So let's read the prophet. God manifested in a pillar of fire. God manifested in his son. Now God manifests in you. And how many gods is that? One, isn't it? All right, so there are three dispensations. The same Holy Ghost was the dispensation. You see, he said the same Holy Ghost that was the dispensation of fatherhood. Jesus was the dispensation of sonship. And this is the dispensation of Holy Ghost. Now notice here, just a little lower as we went on. God making himself known through fatherhood, through sonship, through Holy Spirit. The three dispensation, the three different dispensation, fatherhood, sonship, and Holy Spirit. See, 3 years, everything, three, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. The same God that was under the dispensation is under that dispensation, is under dispensation, under that dispensation, will be the same one God. How many gods? Now the question I ask, is the one God him or him? Top one? Be careful how you answer this. It'll bite you. Which is the one God, this or this? I thought this was ABCs. You see? We have to start over again. Once your Godhead was wrong, you start over, because when you read your church age book as a oneness, it'll kill you. Because you don't know which Jesus he's talking about. Is this Jesus the beginning of the creation of God, or is this Jesus? You know the quote in the church age book goes like this. Jesus came to reveal the Father. He never spoke of two gods. He spoke of only one God. And now we've come back to the greatest revelation, a capstone revelation, that Jesus is God. Which one? Not the one. The one who has come to reveal this one. There's only one God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So right here, is this the one God? Is that right? So this is the one God that was in Moses in fatherhood? Are you sure? And the Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet like... This is 1 foot of a 12-foot rule. 3-foot rule. This is 1 foot. Then Moses died, and then this one God moved over in the day of the Jordan River, and the pillar of fire came on the sun. So the pillar of fire in Jesus is sonship. Then he goes on the throne. Then he comes back by the name of Jesus on the day of Pentecost to Paul. Is that this one God? So I'm going to ask you, when it says baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, is baptism in the name of the one God? And when you say baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which Lord Jesus Christ were you baptized in? This one or this one? Don't tell untruths. The pastors tell me untruths in a meeting, Brother Ronnie. You'll never get anywhere. They never asked you which one. And they never told you. Because they were oneness and did not know it. This is the one God that we were baptized in. This is the truth. You've never been baptized like that? Then I tell you, go to the water. Get it right with God. Start somewhere. There's only one God. Three dispensations. Not three gods. These are not three gods. There's only one God, and that's Him. You see, the same God was in a pillar of fire, was in Christ. The same one in Christ is in you. The same God. The same with God the Father leading Moses. God the Father, the three dispensations. Father, Sonship, and Holy Ghost. See, these are not names. This Holy Ghost here is not the name of the Holy Spirit. That's the name of a dispensation. That's not a noun. All right, everybody is okay? All right, one more. Does it change your baptism? Does your Godhead change your water baptism? Okay, all right, good. All right, now, I'm going to do this here. Okay. Communion. Who do you want to commune with? This one or this one? You say, Brother Tony, was I eating the wrong thing? Was I? If your Godhead is wrong, your communion is wrong. Because who are you wanting to commune with? So let's read. I want you to know this for sure. You're listening on tape. You might have to thought I was trying to say about myself being I was speaking this, packing this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more, just a voice, and my voice, even against my better judgment. I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declare to you and determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared over the river. I was only standing there when He appeared. So I want to stop again. Let's see if it affects our revelation. Notice there's a great big difference in the sign of Jesus appearing, then Jesus coming. There are two different words, means two different things. The appearing of the Lord and the coming of the Lord. Now, the appearing of the Lord is now, when He appears in His people. His Spirit working among them, proving that it's Him with them, getting them ready for the rapture, for the coming of the Lord to catch the bride away. Now, if your Godhead was wrong, I guarantee that you were taught that 1963 was the coming of the Lord. Is that right? Not what you were taught. But that's not true. Because He only comes three times. He comes to die in His bride, for His bride. He comes for His bride in the air. And He comes with His bride. So this is not, 63 was not a coming. 63 was a further appearing. He appeared in power, Son of Man in power, Luke 21:27-30. He appears, Son of Man appear in power. Then He appeared in cloud. What is cloud? Rain. Proverbs 16:15. Amen. In the light of the king's countenance is life, and His favor is as the cloud of the latter rain. What is the cloud? The latter rain. So you have the appearing. He's appearing in power from 1946 to 1963. Then in 1963, he's been revealed in his own word. He's appearing to be revealed in his own word. And then 1965, God appearing in the fullness of his glory. Not only in power, not only in word, but everything filled up together. Who is this Melchizedek? So this is the appearing of the Lord. The appearing starts 1946 all the way to 1965. God appearing. The coming will be when we meet him in the air. So now the question about it now. Who is the one supposed to be coming and who is the one supposed to be appearing? If he's appearing in his people, he can't be two places at the same time. So who is the one that is appearing? Which one? Him. Because he is the one down here with the two poles and then the word, the shout, to get you ready for the rapture. And that's what he says there. His Holy Spirit working among them, proving that it's him with them, getting them ready for the rapture, for the coming of the Lord to catch the bride away, the appearing and the coming. Is it all right? Questions and answers. Christ comes three times. First time he comes to redeem his bride. The second time he comes to receive his bride. The third time he comes with his church. Has he come for you yet? Well, then why did they say 63 was a coming? They did not know what to do with the mighty angel descending. So they said it was a coming. End time evangelism. End time evangelism. Same thing today. When you see his work, now we have already seen and have been witnessing the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, this is 62. The appearing goes all the way to 46. Now remember, appearing and coming is two different words. To appear, then to come. Now is the appearing. He's already appeared in these last days. Right here with us in the last few years. Now it's a sign of his coming. It's not his coming. He's appearing in his church in the form of the Holy Spirit, showing that it's him. Because the people cannot do these things that you see the Holy Spirit doing. A man cannot discern the thoughts of the heart. It has to be him. Appearing in the Lord. Now remember, it spoke both places. Convince and then concern. Because of the false teaching of the Godhead, it led the people to believe 63 was the coming. Now the same people who taught that is condemning other men when they go further in error. Because from this comes the teaching, since he's here, no communion, no foot washing. The Lord is already here. Huh? And then they are condemning these guys when they are the one who taught it. Rapture has already happened. They've gone that far. The Lord has already come. No corporal coming. All of that because they taught that foolishness. He's the same God that fell on the day of Pentecost. He's the same God that raised Lazarus from the grave. Notice that was not the Son. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am convinced that this is the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, this is close. This is the close of the royal seed waiting. He's here, the appearing of Christ. Did you ever try to divide? There's a place in the Bible, you know, it ain't got time to go into it. The appearing of Christ, then the coming of Christ. That's two different things altogether. The appearing and the coming. He's appearing now, working with us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And the form of the Holy Spirit is in the form of a prophet. Making himself just perfect, the church, it has to. Jehovah Jireh. Now, last night I was explaining between the line and the confirming. So let me make sure I've been talking. This one appears as Son of Man. God in the form of a prophet. Not him. When he comes, that will be a coming. That will be in the air. This is an event. This is a ministry. Amen. Okay, he says, now watch Genesis 18 being explained here. I was explaining it between the lines. confirming. I want to just hit it again before I go to the next. God changed Abraham from an old wrinkled man, him and Sarah, back to a young. So who is going to do the body change? Not him. We meet him in the air after our body is changed by him.
Amen.
God changed Abraham in the form of an old wrinkled, him and Sarah, back to a young man, change your physical being. They could receive the promised son. So Jesus, this Jesus coming is called the promised son. Alright? And before the promised son could come, he has to meet Abraham and Sarah. Abraham is our husband prophet. Sarah is you and I. Is that true? And our prophet husband meets him and tells us all the experiences that he had with him. I met him. I saw a covenant. He confirmed to me Jehovah the old is Jesus of the new. He tell me to speak squirrels into existence. What is that? Not us. Not, we don't have the experiences. The prophet husband William Branham has it. But he comes and tells us, and we draw strength from our Abraham to conceive.
Amen.
So that we can have a body change. Change back into a young man. Change your physical being that they could receive the promised son. Because we cannot meet him in the air in these bodies. So he doesn't change it. The last sign has got to be manifested was the manifestation of God in flesh. Could read the heart of the woman behind in the tent. The next thing was their bodies were changed. I'm going to skip some. Now there's a difference. There's a different word used. The appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ. Two different words altogether. Christ is appearing in these last days in his church. Bringing his church together in unity, faith, power. So you see the word Christ misleads them. It's this. The Holy Spirit, Christ. Now there's a difference between the appearing and coming of Christ. The two different words altogether. He's appearing in his church now. We see him. Now there are better quotes. I'm going to try to read them. And I'll read these two and then I'll finish communion. Did you know that the Bible speaks of the appearing of the Lord and the coming of the Lord? It's two different works. Search it and find out. The appearing and the coming is two different things. The ministry did not do that, and that's where we ran into problems. If you get your Godhead wrong, you get your appearing and coming wrong. If you get your appearing and coming wrong, you are going to get your Son of Man wrong. And if you get your Son of Man wrong, there is no message for you. You can pervert it. There's no power in it. You'll come down and keep going around in circle for years and years, preaching the same thing over and over from year to year. You see? That's what is going to happen. Search it and find out if that's right. The appearing and coming is two different things. The appearing of the Lord is now. He's appearing amongst his people. We see him in the same works. The appearing is Holy Spirit. But his coming will be a physical being. Did you see a physical being? Did you see the physical corporal body? Well, there's no coming yet. So why did they teach 63 the coming? They say it's a word coming. I asked them if Luther was a chicken liver coming. What did Luther have then? You know, Luther had word too. All right. It'll be to catch the bride. But you see, it's been down through the word. Justification, sanctification, baptism in the Holy Ghost. And now the church is getting in such a condition, ready, waiting. And the offices of the church is coming into place. That means the fivefold ministry. Teachers are placing the places. The gifts are manifesting themselves. So the Lord is now appearing amongst his people. Great signs, wonders. That's a revival. That starts here. That's the revival that starts Malachi 4 and 2. Son of Righteous rising with healing in his wing is a healing campaign going out worldwide. Started in 1946. All right. He says here. He said, healing the sick, doing the very same things that he did that hasn't been done for 2,000 years. Nobody can discern the thoughts of the heart for 2,000 years. See, the church is hewn up, down, through until it's right in the time for the headstone. It's coming to meet the church. And then it'll go together. And the rapture. The ones that fell asleep, first watch, second watch, the third watch, the seventh watch, the appearing of the Lord. Now, listen to this quote very carefully. These next two, and I'll close with these two. Now remember, not the man. That's an office in the church. Not the marvelous teacher man. That's the marvelous Holy Ghost teaching in the man. Not the marvelous man with the gift of discernment. It's the marvelous Holy Ghost in there using the man. He's talking about prophet, you see. Peter referred to the one time in Mount Transfiguration, the Holy Mountain. It isn't the Holy Mountain. It's the Holy God on the mountain. Not the Holy Church, it's the Holy God. Not the Holy People, but the Holy God. See, it's the Holy Spirit in these last days. And when the angel of the Lord came to Abraham, there in the time of destruction, now, that was God appearing in human flesh. That's Him appearing, not Him. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will be coming in the Son of Man. You see, in the days of Lot. Watch the messenger to Abraham. Watch the messengers to Lot. Come out, come out. Abraham pleading. Notice, the angel comer, God comer, Elohim comer, appearing in the form of human flesh, shows that Elohim in the last days will appear. So this is Elohim. Not Him. Not the coming of Christ, but the appearing of Christ in human flesh, making Him the same signs and things that He hadn't been done in the church for 2,000 years. You see? After 2,000 years, we see the infallible proof that they can still see Jesus. He's appearing in our midst just before the coming. He's making His appearance. Now, if you got your wrong, if you only know one Jesus, you will not wait to place it. You will die right there. All right? Is it important? Yes. Okay. You say, Brother Tony, Brother Branham said that was Jesus appearing there. All right? Let's see now. Proven as the word 64. He promised these things would happen in the last days, that the Son of Man will be made man. Now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that could discern the thoughts in Sarah's mind. That was not Jesus. He had not yet been born. It's not this Jesus. It's this Jesus. Elohim. Okay? I'm back to communion. I wasn't the one down there appeared on the river. I only standing there. I'm not the one that performed these things and foretell these things. That it happens. I'm only the one. I'm only one that's near when He does it. I'm only a voice that He used to say. It wasn't what I knew. It was what I surrendered myself to. My, that's lovely. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh no! It was the manifestation of the Son of Man. I mean, God in the form of a man. That is what it was. Right? Now watch this carefully. It wasn't the angel, His message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man, it's God. Amen. Now, the angel was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. Amen. The Son of Man is Christ. Amen. Amen. If it's a man, He has to be anointed, you see. He is the one that you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. Amen. A man, His word will fail. You're feeding on the unveiling body word of the Son of Man. So now, in other words, you're feeding on the carcass message. Now, the message is God. Now, the message is called the living bread. The shout is called the living bread. That's what He calls the shout. The bread of life, right? So now, watch what I want to show you. If you are not eating the bread, the shout, the message, I'm talking about the right message, you have no communion with God. But if you are able to eat the right word, it's like hearing the truth and believing it, then you will be, amen, you will be sealed, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. If you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, then you are going to be gathered with them of like precious faith. That will be a body. And anyone who is not guarded to the truth, true message, the true bread of life, the true shout, the true revelation, will be eating something that is mixed with a oneness. That's why the Bible, you got to discern the body of Christ. If you see a church that is a oneness, you cannot, there's no way you can have open communion today. Because you cannot take the cup of the Lord and drink the cup of devils too. And cup means doctrine. It means teaching. You can't do it. There's no way. Because this body, you got to be careful. You have to guard that body. The natural, the doctrine you're teaching is going to gather a certain people who are eating that doctrine. And that becomes the body of the Lord. The spiritual body. You think you can take this communion? No, second. Now, watch carefully. God produced the DNA in Christ. It was God's DNA in it. It was God's blood. It was God's body. I don't have time to read the quotes, but Abraham continues to say Jesus was the body of God. So I'm asking you, the man, this Jesus' body, this man's body, whose body is it? Is it his body or is it God's body? Are you sure? Well, who it is that Jesus said, I come to declare, he come to declare God. When he took the bread and he broke it, and he gave, eat, this is my body.
Amen.
Who was that telling him to do that? Whose body was that? That was God's body.
Amen.
Amen. You see, the oneness have you communing with the Son of God as God. No, communion is with Melchizedek. It is Melchizedek that served communion for the first time.
Amen.
It is God's body that redeemed us. It is God's blood that redeemed us.
Amen.
If you get your Godhead wrong, your communion is wrong.
Good.
It's another gospel. You say, prove it to me. He said, my teaching is not my own. The teaching is the bread. The bread, he said, is his body. And we know it's God's word. So whose body is it? Jesus came to declare God in his body. This is God's body. And you were placed in that body by representation. So I'm going to ask you this now. Watch carefully. When Jesus died, did you die? No. Thank you. Somebody caught it. Who said that? Oh, yay. Yes and no. If you say you did not die, you are still in your sins. Amen. But yet you did not die literally. So yes and no. You died by representation. You died by imputation. These two laws. Is that right? Now watch carefully. God cannot die. Whose body is this? So when Jesus died, did God die? Yes and no. God died by the same law he said you died by. But yet God cannot die. That's why they are confused. He said, the one quote, he said, God cannot die. And the next quote, he said, there is their God dying at Calvary. Amen. What is it? And then what makes it more confusing? He says, God cannot die. Then he said, their God dying at Calvary. And here's Jesus saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He died by representation. So God died, but yet God cannot die. He represents, he declared what God wanted to do with that body. Now, if God died, now what about the communion now? Let's read it. See Christ. God is a spirit. Christ means anointed one. A man anointed with God, which made him the Christ. Now, Christ said, I am the food and the drink, not a wafer. Not a wafer that we take here. It isn't Christ. The wine that we drink at the altar isn't Christ. It represents him figuratively. But Christ is the Holy Spirit, the anointing that's upon the church. That is the meat and the drink. In other words, the message of the hour, amen, is what you're eating and drinking. And if you can eat the true word and the true spirit, you're going to be born again. And all those who are born again will be a body. How can you now take somebody in a message with another teaching, another God, bring them together and commune? Can you take the Lord's body and give it to a harlot? See, everybody wants to be a nice man. Don't say anything. Everybody wants to be, you know, you see a preacher killing somebody there. He's a good man. He's a nice man. He don't know much about the world, but he's a good man, a nice man. How would you like a good man, a nice man? He doesn't know much about dentistry, but you talk about a good man. Would you like to open your mouth for him? If they can't feed you, brother, The word shepherd means feeder. We have let things go through so long that it's almost hard to come back here. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the king of Jerusalem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was a priest of the Most High. It means that he was representing Almighty God in that body. And he blessed him. He, Abraham, the Most, the possessor of heaven and earth. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem, also represented himself among other kings. Notice the battle was over. The spirit of God in Abraham of Christ that had brought back and fallen brother, then restored him back to his rightful condition, to all that he lost, he had brought back. And when he did, he brought out bread and wine, the communion. Can't you see who that Melchizedek was? It was God brought out communion. Who was the one that was really introducing communion when he said, "Take, this is my body, eat. Drink, this is my body." It was Almighty God again in this end time. And the prophet said, "You're not feeding on a man. Who are you feeding on then?" Melchizedek, Almighty God. That is the one who wants to restore communion back. When you commune with the word, it is his word. It is his bread. It is his body. It is his blood. See? Our communion is oneness. Again. Let us turn to Matthew 26. Right. Quick see that Jesus said here about the book of Matthew 26. He said, if somebody said it, read it if you can. This is a beautiful type here. I don't want you to miss this. Here you are. It's God's sister. Now you were eating. Jesus took bread, blessed it. What was it? The battle was over. Break it. Give it to his disciple. Take, eat. This is my body. Note, Melchizedek took the form of Jesus, his son, to serve communion. It was the incarnate God serving communion to Abraham, then to his disciples. See Melchizedek, you see God cannot change, can he? See that Melchizedek, hundreds of years before when he met Abraham, before the battle was over, he gave bread and wine. And here Jesus gave the disciples, after his hard battle was over, he gave them bread and wine. Now we can take this right down to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. After you struggle through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, when you're born again, your battle is over, you're sealed. What happened? You're part of Melchizedek now. You've got a gene, part of his name. Is that right? Guess what happened? You begin to rest. You begin to commune with Almighty God. I'm going to close it up. I'm going to say one more thing before here. If we were of the world would love his own. But because we are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. Remember the word that I said unto you, a servant is no greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep your saying. I want you to notice this. The ones who did not know God is the ones that killed Jesus, because he did know God. That spirit does not change. The people who were preaching about God did not know God, the preachers. Can it be today in the message that the preachers who are preaching so much about God know very little of God? Can it be again that Brother Branham said they did not know? The ones, the authority that they looked to did not know. But all of these things they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Because if they know that this is of God, they would love us. Brother Louis, they would love you. That is why I love you and you love me. Because why? Because we know him that sent him. And we know him that sent us. We know him that sent William Branham. Now watch. If I had not come and spoken unto them in Durban, they would not have had sin. They will say, "I never heard it. I don't know." We'll be a oneness. We die that way. Maybe we're not elect. But now they have no cloak for their sin. These things are going to go up on the net. Let it be a testimony to those men and those churches. It's one thing about young pastors, huh? They don't become good pastors until they eat a lot of shoe polish. It's part of the way. You see, you must not. It is not wise for you to speak unless you have searched out a matter. So I close with this. I am not a pastor exactly. I have a lovely people back home and in Namibia, in Trinidad. I have good people around the world. But Brother Cyril and I have been working in the apostolic field for a little while. There are very few apostles that are out there. Apostles are the highest office in the land because they are the ones who have to help and to correct and set in order. Churches, pastors don't like that. They don't like to be accountable. They believe they are sovereign. They are not. The church is sovereign, but they are not. But without a fivefold and without an apostolic order, no one is taking a rapture. God will not have a church out of order. An apostle is sent to set doctrines in order. That is what he's sent for. He cannot be afraid of this great man in Cape Town or this great man in Pretoria or Newcastle or wherever. He can't be a wishy-washy man. He can't be tossed around. He's not like a pastor. He has to defend the gospel that he believes. Otherwise, the ones who are following him and he's an elder too are going to think he's a weakling. He cannot let the doctrines be spoken off. He has to defend it, lest it seems like the doctrines are not true. And yes, they are very harsh sometimes. And I apologize sometimes. I wish I could be nice and sweet as Brother Louis. I never heard Brother Ronnie speak, but maybe I could be nice like him. But that's not my makeup. That's not my call. Yes, it's sometimes rude and arrogant to say 98% of the message world ministry are oneness. But which one of you have traveled as much as Brother Cyril and I? Should not we who travel know? Instead of someone who might have just gone to two countries? Would we not be in the position to know? And I'm telling you here today, how many has ever heard God had presented like this, even if it's wrong, presented like this, or any message church believes it like this in Durban apart from Brother Louis? None. None. So why is 98% wrong? Why is 98% wrong? Why isn't your elders, didn't they teach you this? Life comes through the body. If the initial man, if you say you believe this, take it back to your elder. If he cannot receive it, there's no gene in there. Because the Holy Ghost who wrote the word cannot deny the word. He cannot deny the word. You say, brother, no. And he is a pastor, he has even a greater gift than you. Or minister. You say, brother Tony, that's going to, well, let me tell you this. We travel to many countries. We go in, from the minute the pastors hear that these truths are coming in, demon powers anoint them. Right away. They shut every door up. But all things work together for good. From the minute they shut it up, it gives us the chance to start a new church. We went to Cape Town. There's a church there now. All doors were shut. They say they believe this. Namibia shut the door. Church there 4 years now. Trinidad shut the doors. Now there are two churches down there now. Barbados, two churches. Guyana, two churches. And all around. Ghana, next open door. If they don't open the door to hear these truths from the apostles, then what does the apostle do? Start churches. So you're going to hear a lot about this. Oh, they are causing confusion in a church. They are already confused. We're just trying to straighten them out. You say, brother, who are you? Find another apostle then. But somebody's got to do it. You see? Yes, it causes disturbances. Yes. But didn't Jesus cause religious disturbance? Isn't every time the church gets comfortable for these pastors who have made their kingdom, now they don't want any disturbance, just let me sit quietly and get old now. Don't bring any more truth. They might just stir things. I don't want to lose anybody now. Think that is what we are living for? Religion has become a business here, message business. And you have come right down to mediocrity. And you are settled for it. And if there is any problem and anybody to blame, it's you. It must be a grassroots problem. It must be with the people. They must say, why it is we are not feeding? I'm not growing. Something wrong, Pastor. Why are you not bringing into the greater truths? What's happening, Pastor? And they say, you are a troublemaker. You need to leave. Find somewhere that will feed you. Amen. I'll close with this. From the minute you give your tithing to your pastor, there is a contractual agreement that is made. You are saying automatically, I am depending on you to feed me. That's what shepherd means. To care for me, to stand with me, and no matter how far I fall, amen, you are telling me that you will be there for me. Even if I'm a troublemaker, it matters not. You better make sure. And when that pastor takes that tithing, he is making a contractual agreement that I will be with you. And that shepherd, when he gives his tithing, he's saying, I'm placing my soul under there. And I'm going to follow you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to depend. If you can't do that where you are, you're a sad person. That's a contract that you make. And Brother Branham said, a pastor is a feeder. Get your shepherds going. Get them to study. Get them to pray. Get them into that word. If not, you are not going to jump higher than him. And you'll not get anywhere. You say, why are you talking to you like that? Because you see, the shepherds would not come here. Neither would they open up for these truths. It must be grassroots. Jesus went to the grassroots. Jesus said, you hypocrite, you snake in the grass. One more, let me close. You've got the wrong Jesus, you know, brother. Joseph, they've got the wrong Jesus. They got a Sunday school Jesus. I don't ever know. Did you see a gentle Savior? Did you see a gentle Savior, Brother Ronnie, in the Bible? The man who whipped them out, ran them out, say, you hypocrites, you snake in the grass, woe unto you, scribe and Pharisee, white wall sepulchres. Amen. Go tell that old fox, your father is of the devil. You have your father the devil. He was a liar in the beginning. If I was to say I did not know him, I would be a liar like you. You ever see a sheep run away when they try to catch him? They've got the wrong Jesus, brother. You say, well, I don't know about that. What about Brother Branham? That was the same God on him. You hawk, you chicken, hopping around, eating dead a carrion. Buzzard, flapper, prostitute. That doesn't sound right. And then 63 to 65, Brother Branham realized the people with the wrong Jesus were saying, how can that be God? He's so crude. He's so crude. Calling the women sexual garbage disposals and all sorts of things like that. He's so crude. How that could be God? That's the same God that tell them that they were like a dirty douche cloth in the Old Testament. That's the same Jehovah in Jeremiah that told them that. That same God anointed William Branham. He's feeling it from the people and the ministers. How can that be the Holy Ghost? Billy Graham, don't talk like that. All Roberts, don't talk like that. Tommy Hicks, don't talk like that. Look at this man. And then he caught the Spirit and he started to say, you see, who had more fruits of the Spirit and love than the kind old priests and the scribes? And you see, he was feeling it coming back. He said, they kissed the babies. They lent you money. What about this rascal? He's breaking up churches and causes all sorts. You see, they want it all at ease in Zion.
They've got the wrong Jesus, brother. They've got the wrong gospel, and they cannot convert those people. I want to thank Kenville for an open door. I want to thank Brother Louis, the elders here, great men. You might not see yourself as anything, but without you, there is no light here. If you believe these truths, I'm telling you, and your doors, your shepherds will not open up for these truths. They want to keep you in idolatry. Do not support the priests of Baal. Don't give them your time, your thought. Don't give them a penny to strengthen against the people of God. Would you give a support to a oneness denominational church? How can you give your strength to strengthen people against the people of God and the truth of God? How can you do that? Now that's hard talk. But it's still the truth. Thank you for your open doors. If there was something that was said that would not be quite right, I want to be corrected. I want to learn. I want to grow. But I believe that the context and the content and the line of direction is enough for you to take and study. I'm sure that Brother Louis has taught these things. Some of it is just rehearsing. But I want to thank the Lord for the grace to be here tonight. And for the different ones that are listening in. Namibia, I believe, is on. And Cape Town and Trinidad. I know my local church, who I love. And Revealwood Tabernacle in Namibia. Lovely people. I love them. I'm saying that for them. And of course, Eagle Faith Tabernacle. My jewel home. So God bless you. God keep you. Cause His face to shine upon you. And give you much grace. Thank you, Brother Louis.
Musicians, come along, please. We appreciate these weekends meetings.
Amen.
Amen. I find sometimes some things you might say, but why? It's not called for, you know. Why do you have to make such statements? You be the judge. I mean, you've heard this weekend. And this is one of the emails that's circulating in Durban. Comes from a minister. I can't even begin to describe how way off the message it was. Statements like there are two Jesuses. One invisible and one visible. But you saw the quote. So they're now saying it's way off. They're saying the Father, they say there's an invisible Father and there's a visible Son. So this writer is disputing there's an invisible Father and there's a visible Son. Jesus came in His Father's name, so the Father's name is Jesus. So they don't believe that. This email goes on and on and on. So there's a whole lot of things that's going on in Durban. But we need to stand for that which you can, that comes from a vindicated prophet. See, there's a lot of explanations going out in the message communities because they cannot answer for certain things. As I said, another letter stated my academic qualifications. That's another minister. So what is happening this weekend's meeting that has been streamed worldwide actually now. We have some academics in the message community who is now saying, well, Brother Branham is wrong because there's no invisible God and there's no such thing as an invisible Father and there's no such thing as a Son. There's no such thing as an appearing. There's no such thing as Revelation 10 is not the Father coming down. Look, the email goes on and on and on. So you'd find sometimes you say, but why does Brother Tony make such statements? Because out there, it's outrageous. People that carry the word, that propagate the truth, are now circulating something that is the truth, but is painting it as heresy. You might receive the email as well, because it's making its rounds. But you see, brothers and sisters, as I said, I never was born in a message church. We came straight from a denomination. That is why God has been gracious to Kenville, because we never came under the ministry of anybody. God has opened up our eyes, and we thank God for the ministries that came. Even Pastor Tony has helped us a lot to see these truths. But you'd find that the Bible says that they will be a group of people that will come to know their God. So how can there be so much of confusion in the message world? When we came in, you know, when I came in, I said, wow, at least we are one now. I said, we have one message. We can say the same thing everywhere. But as I began to understand it, I see it's completely different. And later it dawned upon me, brothers and sisters, it's because our teachings are wrong. Our God, it is wrong. And one minister said, that's not from this country, but from another country. If I go back to the people and I tell them this, they're going to leave me. So that's another minister overseas. So you'd find as believers, you need to, you know, I thank God, thank God for Voice of God also. Is they've made it available. Because in the early days, you can get away with anything you want. But now you can't get away. Because now it's placed in the hands of the people. Where the people can verify, check it, hear it. Because the elect will never be deceived. Amen. We want to thank Pastor Tony. God bless you. We appreciate your ministry. Trust the Lord will strengthen you. Give you grace. You have a long flight back. You and Brother Cyril, we thank you, Brother Cyril, as well for coming along. They've been away from home for, I think, about 3 weeks, I think. Okay, they're missing the families. We appreciate the families as well. They also tuned in this afternoon for the sacrifice they make by lending the brothers, even the assemblies at Eagle Faith as well, by allowing Brother Tony to come down. God richly bless you. We also want to thank all the pastors that have come here tonight. We appreciate you that you have come here. I'm sure you also want to go home and search it out. We've placed it on the brothers will put up the link just now. We've placed it on the website for now. Because we're beaming by satellite and the weather is quite bad, so sometimes you'd have breakages or segments of the viewing. You've got to understand. But if you want a clear audio copy of it, you can speak to the brothers at the back. Brother Larry is the deacon. You can give him your name and he can give you an audio copy. So thank you very much, all the believers from the different assemblies for coming together. May the Lord richly bless you, the ministers as well. I trust that you will just go home, search these truths out, because this is life and death. We don't play around with our souls. We don't play around with our eternal life. God has given something to us which is precious that money cannot buy. Thank you to our brothers at the back. You've had some tough times this week, working till 2 o'clock in the morning. God bless you as well. Also, Brother Jimmy and his staff, the believers from our assembly, we appreciate you as well for putting all the efforts to ensure that this weekend goes well. May the Lord richly bless you and undertake for you in a special way. Let's give the Lord a hand. Also, thank you to the different believers that have rendered items. The Lord bless you as well and undertake for you in a special way. Let's all stand together in closing. The question is, which Jesus do you stand up for? Stand up for Jesus, the soldiers of the cross. Which Jesus? We know it's God.
Stand up for Jesus. From victory unto glorious stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The failure, He did not trust you, but on the gospel and watching.
The last verse again.
Stand up for Jesus, stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail. Put on the gospel armor.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. We'll ask Pastor Ronnie Sampson to close the service with a word of prayer. Amen. 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 God bless you, brothers and sisters. Once again, you may take your seats. Safe traveling journey, and the Lord grant you His peace.